much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey! What's up with you? Wake up! The world is crumbling.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Considering Godzilla is based on the true story of a giant lizard attack in Tokyo, where more than 100,000 people died in 1954, do you think it is wrong that Hollywood glamorizes this event for entertainment value?
Is Godzilla real? Then I guess so, because, like, if he hurt a lot of people, like, why would he want to do that? And why would they want to make it seem, like, real and stuff and, like, nice?
Are you worried about a Godzilla attack?
Aren't they extinct?
Well, there was an attack in Cloverfield in 2008.
Wait, is Godzilla like a dinosaur?
And now,
what was the question?
Does not matter.
Our feature presentation.
Does not matter indeed. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 29th of May.
I weep for the nation sometimes, by the way, when I see those interviews that Jimmy Kimmel does out on the street in front of his place.
I find them funny.
Well, no, they are. They are hilarious. But aren't you sad that those are our citizens? Those are our people?
Nope.
Okay.
That's me half the time. What are you talking about?
What's going on, party people? How's everybody doing?
Better than you. Way, way better than you.
I am starting to worry. I told you guys yesterday that I was super sick. I'm starting to worry. Could be MRSA. Very well could be MRSA. Look, we had a lot of listeners emailing us yesterday going, hey, thanks for nothing, asshats. Now all I'm thinking about is who am I going to run into on the street today who's going to give me MRSA? I'm now terrified that I will die before Beer Mug. So I will not have the supreme satisfaction of seeing mugs die.
What a burn.
Wouldn't that be a burn?
The healthiest man in the world dies before Beer Mug.
I go to the grave and don't get to have that party we've all been planning behind Beer Mug's back when he goes.
I'm pretty sure that Bean has to give up the title of healthiest man in the
world. Oh, I am the healthiest man in the world.
No, I know, but
he'll
I'm saying.
Never give it up.
Right.
First of all, no one's healthier than I am.
You also don't have Asperger's.
How many times have I called in sick in the history of
irrelevant.
This radio show?
You're an idiot, York, when you're really sick.
But that to me indicates healthiest man in the world. If I'm well enough to work, I'm healthier than people who aren't.
So what are your symptoms now?
Well, here's the thing, and I need your advice on this, you guys.
All right.
I've always heard whatever you do, if you're really sick and it's lingering and it's not going away, go to a doctor. But that's BS, right? We all know that.
Okay.
Sure. I'm with you so far.
Whatever you do, I've been told, don't go on WebMD.
Well,
so yesterday I went on WebMD.
Sure. That's how you work.
And I entered in all my symptoms, which, Lisa, thank you for asking, are severely achy arms and legs, all the joints and muscles, whatever it is that hurt, just hurts like anything just to move.
Yeah.
Terrible chills to the point where I cannot get warm. Just teeth are chattering, you know, goosebumps over my entire body, just layer after layer after of clothes and blankets, and I cannot get cold at all, or warm at all, I should say.
Okay.
And then alternately, terrible spiky high fevers where I'm going to burn up and die. And my favorite, frequent and burning urination.
Oh!
So I was going to suggest kidney infection because I had one once where, I get UTIs a lot, but I had a kidney infection without that. And
yeah, you get UTIs a lot.
I didn't know what it was, but I kept having fevers. And I would just get freezing cold and then get in a hot bath and try to warm up. And then it would go away, but then it would come back. And it got worse and worse. And I finally did end up in the ER. And they said if you'd waited like 6 more hours, we would have had to admit you because you have a raging kidney infection.
So what was wrong with your kidney? What kind of infection?
It was
just a virus or
like
bacteria?
If you have a UTI untreated, it goes into your kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes infected. I think you do need to go immediately to the ER.
Well, I entered in all those symptoms on WebMD, and then they come back with a ton of stuff. And the top three things were kidney infection or stones.
Okay.
Which sounds like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
Which is why people should never go to WebMD because it's often much worse than you think it's going to be.
Right.
And my wife's favorite, syphilis.
Oh, excellent.
And you're like, no, honey, it's not possible.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the guy who has never had sex ended up with syphilis?
It would be a very difficult explanation.
Yes,
to
it
have.
Would. Yes, it would. And yeah. Conversation. Yeah.
I would have some splaining to do as the moving syphilis. Van pulled away from the road. So, doctor, no doctor?
Doctor, kidney.
I'm drinking lots.
One kidney.
I've never had a kidney infection. I've never had kidney stones. I've always had incredibly healthy kidneys, which is why I was a candidate for kidney donation, because my kidneys are in great shape.
Right, but you're arguing with yourself.
But what are the chances that now all of a sudden at this advanced age, now all of a sudden I get this problem?
I agree with Bean. I say roll the dice.
If you're having like burning during urination, then that's a UTI, and it sounds like it's gone into your kidney. That could happen at any age.
Lisa is a doctor, too.
Look, I know that stuff.
Lisa went to college. Come on.
Can I tell you what I think it is?
What?
Yes.
I believe that this is the period that Bean gets every week before he has to get on a plane and travel. That's what I believe it is. Because if we were to start keeping track, he would be sick the week before he travels every time.
Because he doesn't want to go. Psychosomatic.
The week after I travel, by the way, is more accurate in this case, by the way.
It's before and
after. Well, you went to
Vegas,
but you're also coming here this weekend.
I went to Las Vegas, and the week before that, I went to Nashville. So I've been on a lot of planes lately. Yeah. So it is possible that I've been in contact with hundreds more people than I usually am. But what I'm saying is I may not live.
Right. And I'm saying in the light of that, don't see a doctor.
Okay. All right. It's decided.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
And the always enjoyable giant inflatable beaver.
I wish. I don't see it on the list, but I'm willing to add it. Pasquale Rotella is his name. He created Insomniac, and he's the guy behind EDC, which is coming to Las Vegas again.
Awesome.
And to have him in the studio and talk about that. We have Dr. Drew on the show today. Maybe we can ask him what Bean has.
Let's do that.
Run that by him.
Maybe he can bring me a bunch of antibiotics to Weenie Roast on Saturday.
Yeah, he's a big fan of that. Just throwing in a bunch of antibiotics.
He should travel with antibiotics in case anybody comes up and needs some.
Yeah, but you know he's the guy that says don't take antibiotics, right?
Oh, really?
I mean, for the most part, yeah. He said that on our show in the last week.
Well, then he's at odds with Dr. May.
That's right.
You know, I think I would.
Who am I going to believe? The one that went to medical school or the one that didn't?
That's true.
He's not a real doctor. We've determined that.
Brand new internet roundup on today's show. We have Michael C. Hall on today's show.
What a good actor.
Great actor. He's going to be in Cold in July is the name of the new one, and we're going to talk to him. And we've got your last chance K-Rock Weenie Roast in the pit and backstage passes.
Awesome.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
We want you to see that band right there, American Authors, on Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. They are part of the lineup for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. We still have tickets you can win, by the way, backstage passes and tickets in the pit. And that's coming up later this morning, just after 9 o'clock. And don't forget, if you don't win tickets, you can watch the thing at krock.com. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Bongos!
Yeah, the Congos will be there. That's right.
Bongos.
Congos, right.
I'm asking to bring the bongos out on stage.
It's Congos.
Huge bongos fan from way back. Back when Matthew McConaughey used to play them in the nude.
Unrelated to this Congos band.
What? Thank you.
Although you're welcome to ask them as many bongos questions as you'd like.
When you hold the bongos, do you put them between your knees, or are you more of a handheld bongo player? Bongos.
There was a band called the Bongos back in the 80s that
we did
play.
Well, where the hell are they in the lineup? Why aren't they playing Weenie Roast?
I think they're broken up. But we did play them on K-Rock, and they were good, Ralph. So if you're really in the mood for a band called the Bongos, you might want to check those out.
I can't believe they broke up. I might never get over that. Hey, congratulations, Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre.
Margie.
Glad these guys are making a couple bucks. I'm glad because I know they were hurting for cash, and I'm glad they're finally solvent. Maybe they can buy a home. Maybe they can get themselves a new car.
Get off the street, at least.
With their new deal. The much-talked-about deal between Apple and Beats Electronics, of course, home of the legendary Beats headset, is now done. Deal over. Finished. Locked in. Boom.
How much?
Apple is forking over a mere $3 billion for the company.
$3 billion?
Yeah. $3 billion.
B.
That's a B sound. B.
Wow.
More money, more problems. That's what I always say.
Not with $3 billion, not more problems.
Yeah.
That cleans up a lot of problems.
They do still have to work, though.
Why?
Why?
Because that's part of the deal is that they're going to run it. Yeah. They're going to be in charge of the music department.
They peel off $1 billion of that and hire someone else to run it for them. Maybe they do that.
But after taxes, that's like $80,000.
Maybe like Bean, they'll just work from home and just phone it in every once in a while. Maybe they'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the most expensive purchase ever by Apple. It attempts apparently to fend off a threat to its iTunes store at the same time as boosting the company's bottom line. So we'll see if that works.
Money can't buy happiness. It is happiness.
That's true. Speaking of money, this was fascinating to me, this list. Billboard magazine has put together a list of the top 25 money-making live artists since 1990. Going all the way back to 1990, they look at the top 25 biggest concert acts and listed them in order of money-making.
Now, are these phenomena. Does this include like a band like the Rolling Stones that's still touring in the 90s?
This is any band that is performing live concerts.
All right, so
from 1990 all the way up to this year of our Lord 2014.
Okay.
Here's your top 10. The Eagles at 10. Since 1990 total, they have made over $700 million touring.
Wow. Aren't they the one some of the people who charge like $750 for a ticket. Or
I think they have some expensive tickets.
It's absurd. It's up there, yeah, for sure.
And they didn't get back together, remember, until 1994, so they even missed the first 4 years of the time period.
Number 10.
Kenny Chesney was ninth with over $750 million in ticket sales.
Country?
Yes.
He still plays stadiums.
Celine Dion was eighth. Similar numbers. Dave Matthews Band, seventh. With $778 million.
Wow.
Elton John, $787 million since 1990. Bon Jovi was fifth, over $1 billion in concert ticket
sales.
He's
in every one of these lists, and it always shocks me. I don't know why, but
fifth. Madonna, $1.1 billion in gross. Literally gross. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, $1.2 billion since 1990. That's what he's generated with concert income. You, mother effing two.
Sure.
Second, with $1.5 billion in gross ticket sales. And at number one, Kevin, you nailed it when we were first talking about this. The Rolling Stones with $1.6, roughly, billion in gross ticket sales. Now, here's the thing. This goes to show you who's going to see concerts. Out of that top 10, only, out of the 25 actually, and the whole list of the 25 artists, only four artists released their first albums in the 90s or later. So of these bands are nostalgia acts for the most part.
I think you have to have a huge catalog too for people to pay that much money.
Dave Matthews Band, Toby Keith, Kenny Chesney, and Coldplay were the only newish bands in the top 25 of money-making artists in terms of concert revenue. That's crazy.
Hey, I read the reviews of that Billy Joel show at the Hollywood Bowl the other night, and you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody under 40 in that crowd.
Sure.
You don't need them.
Now, is it because tickets are getting so expensive that only people with disposable incomes, like the upper income, long-time working, middle-class, older folks, can afford them?
I would guess because
are
a lot of those
generating more passion than a lot of bands because we live in sort of a musically fragmented society where everybody's got their own little niche thing going on? I mean, who?
Yes and yes.
Who amongst?
I don't know.
Who amongst us is without sin? But also, who amongst the bands today can fill a stadium, for example? You know?
Right. There aren't many.
The Bongos? I don't think they're filling any stadiums. If they get back together again, maybe.
Right, maybe.
The reunion tour would be phenomenal for them. They'd make big cash.
I mean, look, a lot of the K-Rock bands like Arcade Fire sell out every show, but they're playing much smaller arenas. You know, they're playing Staples Center.
Right. So. And the cost of their tickets is, I think, much
lower. Right. Yeah. They're probably charging $40.
Right.
Anyway, interesting numbers. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Danny Elfman. Speaking of the bongos, He was in Ongo Bongo, right? Wasn't he in that?
Oingo Boingo, yeah.
I'm confused. I need someone to, I need to open up a blog. Yes, Danny Elfman is 61 years old today. Actress Annette Bening turns 56. Actor Adrian Paul is 55. Rupert Everett, remember him?
Yes.
Before that impersonator took over?
Yes.
He's 55 years old today. Noel Gallagher of the legendary band Oasis is 47. Tosh! Daniel Tosh of Tosh.0 is 39 years old. And singer Mel B. That's right. You heard me. Mel B's 39. Don't think we won't be hearing a little Spice Girls today. Oh, yeah.
That was last Friday.
Oh.
Ralph has an unnatural love for them.
The only reason I watched any of those damn Olympics was watching those girls get back together and get there and Wembley and just shaking their asses. God, it was good times. Wish the bongos would open for the Spice Girls. That would be a tour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ralph, why are you an against her?
I'm not an against her. I'm a forer.
Sounds to me like you're an against her because no. I think we had a lovely and delightful conversation with Miss Swanepoel yesterday. I think she had a good time. We had a good time. The listeners enjoyed it. And all you're doing is poo-pooing it.
No, I'm not at all. I am for Candace Swanepoel.
Number one on Maxim's list of sexiest women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talk to her
what I'm against is what you just said, which is you thinking that you had a lovely conversation with her and that she enjoyed it. I think that's the reason we need to go do a little tape breakdown. Because I guarantee you she was just being super sweet and super polite.
Well, I mean, that's
ultra nice.
It's possible, but I doubt.
Because when you two team up.
It's magic.
And talk to a especially attractive woman.
Mm-hmm.
The creep factor. The
how dare you?
The creepiosity.
We couldn't have been sweeter to her or more respectful.
You know, you were creepy is what you were.
And no boob questions, by the way. No bikini line questions.
Yeah, here's the thing. And this is the phenomenon that really stunned me as I was listening to the interview yesterday, is that you can avoid any sexual topic and yet still remain as creepy as a guy in a white panel van.
That takes talent.
With some duct tape and chloroform.
It takes true talent.
That's in your filthy mind, then.
A plain conversation and still just creep the F out of a girl. It really is a gift.
We had Candace Swanepoel on yesterday, I don't know, 8:45 about. And you think things went south.
Well, wow. Let me break down the tape. This segment I'm calling the instant creep play, where I will.
I have a feature called that.
We do now.
Okay.
I will play back the tape and I will show you. I will diagram. I will get at the telestrator and I will show you the many deep, deep levels of creepiosity that are going on in this interview.
I thought it went pretty well.
Let's kick off just Bean's intro. Just Bean's intro.
Okay.
Before she even talks to her.
Hottest woman in the world at number one. That means she's more attractive than Scarlett Johansson and Katy Perry and Jennifer Lawrence and Alessandra Ambrosio. And that has to hurt you personally, Kevin. And Mila Kunis and Jessica Alba. And the list goes on. And in fact, any woman you can think of in the world, Candace is actually more attractive than all of them because she's number one. And that's how math works. And we welcome her to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Candace.
Hi, guys. Oh, my God. You're making me laugh.
There's her being nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then leading up to that was Bean being creepy.
How was I being creepy by stating that she's the number one hottest girl in the world, according to Maxim?
That's
a fact.
That statement alone would have been fine. Going on for... I think we get it that she's attractive. I don't even have to list other people she's more attractive than, and she's anyone you can think of. And I think we understand that she is a pretty girl. We get that. But before you even talk to her, don't you want to hold on to some sort of just modicum of cool before you get to that conversation?
Whoa.
All right, let's not shoot for cool. Let's not get
seriously.
Crazy.
Seriously.
But how about just...
What's wrong with you?
Just normalcy. You want to shoot for some normalcy?
We're looking for average.
I'm just saying, try not to act like your hands are in your pants before you even get her on the phone.
How dare you?
And then we're talking about the list, and Alessandra says she doesn't really follow these lists so much.
Candace, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't usually keep up with these kinds of lists. But, I'm excited to be the number one. I think that makes a difference.
I do keep up with these lists. And you're on every one of them, though. I mean, you might not be number one, but you're on every single list.
All right.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I don't...
Okay. All right, pervy. Okay. That's Kevin. That's Kevin jumping in. Rarely, but now it's a new phenomenon how Bean can suck Kevin into the land of creep. because Kevin's like, I do keep up with Liz, and you're on every one of them. And she's like, I'm sure you do. Did you hear the contempt in her voice?
Not yesterday, but today, yeah.
Could you hear
now
her?
Now that you pointed out.
Yeah, I'm sure, skeevy guy, that you are the guy in the stall with your pants around your ankles with the Maxim looking at the list. I'm sure of it.
It's possible.
Is that possible?
There's a slight possibility of that.
How about talking about her family, who let her go off at the age of 15 to be a model, the family's decision to do that?
Yeah.
Let's see how happy Kevin is for that.
They made the right decision.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Let the 15-year-old go for my pleasure.
She was saying that her parents supported her modeling.
Yes, they did.
Which I also...
All right, Buzz. I think Kevin's got more on these lists than Bean does.
How dare you?
In the instant creep play, especially when he talks about taking her not only over state lines, but to another country. And it's a creepy play to get her to go with him to Brazil.
I felt like she really liked that invitation.
Yeah, no, it might happen. It might happen. Judging from this part of the conversation, she might actually go with you to Brazil.
You speak fluent Portuguese, don't you?
I do.
Could use a translator.
Yeah, you need me as a translator?
Yeah, I would say that.
You have a ticket for me?
We would get one, yes.
I'll sell a kidney. I'll sell a kidney and buy you a ticket. Please go with me. Please go with me.
I didn't think she was really going to go with me.
In Kevin's defense, that's a hell of an upgrade, Brad Williams for Candace Swanepoel.
We haven't even gotten to that part
Maybe
yet.
Maybe too big of an upgrade.
Because to really sell, to really, I think, close the deal, Kevin did make the tantalizing offer of swapping her out for a midget. Now, she doesn't know the show. She doesn't know who Brad Williams is. But Kevin thinks this is his play. How can I convince her? What kind of extra incentive can I put in there? You know what we'll do? Instead of taking a midget, we'll take you instead, Candace. That's going to be the exchange.
She's going to be our freak? You can go in place of Brad Williams, our midget comedian friend.
Yeah, we do have a midget
all
going.
All said. I don't know how good my Portuguese will be after 4 caipirinhas.
Well, it's better than mine. Tell you that. All right, I'm not proud of that.
At least Bean jumped in. Yeah, yeah, he's a midget. We'll get rid of a midget for you.
I'm trying to be a good wingman here.
What woman wouldn't be flattered if she knew she was replacing a midget?
And you've never been a good wingman.
I was trying to hook you up.
Never been a good beak man, let alone a wingman. Then it just starts to build like a snowball going downhill. It just starts to build momentum towards the end of the interview.
Uh-oh.
Where Bean is just one of those guys like, whatever comes out of your mouth is a pearl.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Although anything you would say would be interesting.
Come on now.
She's pretty hot, Ralph.
Well, here's Bean's last pitch. And I think this is what won her over, really.
But thank you for making me sound so hot.
Well, we're not really making you anything.
That introduction really, I was like, wow.
Well, it's something you should be happy about and you should be proud of. And I would like to make this a regular segment where Kevin and Bean ask Candace or something like that. Whatever we have to do, we need to have you back on the show all the time now, Candace, now that we're best friends.
I'd love to. Well, good luck at the World Cup if I don't make it.
Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
We'll have you on all the time. You want to come back tomorrow?
The whiff of desperation mixed with creepy.
Hey, that was the best idea I've had in years, by the way.
What a pungent aroma. Yeah, that idea is never going to happen. Know that going in.
Yesterday.
It was worth a shot.
Before the instant creep play, I thought it went pretty well.
Did you?
Yeah. But I'm reconsidering now.
This is why we break down to the tape after the game, guys.
Yeah.
You can't see her reading traffic. Come on.
No. I can't see her reading traffic. No. Well, we'll ask her later today when she's on the show what she thought of yesterday's video.
Hey, kids. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We take all the best viral videos of the week and put them in one location at kevinabean.com or kerak.com. Dave, the King of Mexico, our fearless producer in studio with us. Hey, Dave.
Fearless producer?
Yeah, take it easy.
Is Kevin off the hook? Is Carly Rae Jepsen off the hook? Is the mayor of Cincinnati off the hook for the worst first pitch ever at a Major League Baseball game?
This ranks as maybe the top three. Yeah. I think Carly Rae and the mayor of Cincinnati are worse.
Yeah, because the mayor of Cincinnati went right to the dugout, right?
It
threw the ball into the dugout.
Yeah, it was some different. different direction. At least 50 had velocity on it. So
sort of.
Yeah, so at least it made it there. But
so yeah. 50 Cent walks up. He's thrown out the first pitch 2 days ago at the Mets game in New York. And he throws, I mean, he threw a fine pitch with, as Kevin said, good velocity, but it was about at a 45-degree angle from the catcher.
It barely made it to the plate. There was no velocity on that.
So it just went nowhere near the plate, and shockingly, he did not throw a big tantrum or anything like that. He laughed about it, but here's the play-by-play of that pitch.
50 Cent, and his first pitch was not great. Just a bit outside. What can you say?
Oh my God. That guy's afraid of 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah. Just a bit outside, wow. By the way, like 25 feet outside.
It's spectacular.
I don't understand this video. We always talk about the people that have time to go and do supercuts of TV shows or movies. Well, this one went to every single Nick Cage movie and edited together all the times in his movies where he laughs. And it's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, you're not going to get through it by any stretch.
He's here.
Some funny people, my man.
But why?
20 minutes.
But why? Why would somebody do that?
Why indeed? Who knows?
We've seen a million versions of the Game of Thrones theme. And I'm sorry, my voice is now failing. But this one
another
is done with
Oregon
the
down.
Yep. This one is done with the Super Mario World, and it sounds pretty cool.
What I like about that video is it goes through all the kingdoms of Super Mario World. So right. It's like the Game of Thrones intro, but of Super Mario Land. It's pretty funny.
It is weird, though, that as bad as that 8-bit technology was for music, that we will not let it die. People are always fascinated with going back to it. Speaking of Game of Thrones, here's another version. This is the NBA edition. Dave, describe this one for me, because there's an awful lot going on in it.
It's basically a commercial for the NBA using the Game of Thrones about the playoffs and the quest for the ring.
The Wizards are getting stronger. John Wall is no longer a boy, and they're coming for our rings.
You're the best player in Boros, and you're afraid of some scrubs from Washingfell.
Dynasties fall, Lord Ridley.
Ah, dynasties fall. But you're forgetting one thing. We have dragons.
We live in a world where everything has to somehow be involved with Game of Thrones. Old Technology is a series of videos we often feature on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. This is where they take kids and they give them like a record player and have them try to figure out how it works to play music. In this case, they're in a room full of what looked like early 1980s personal computers.
Yeah.
And they just have never seen anything so clunky, and they are very confused by it.
Why does it have to make so much noise?
And there's nothing on the screen.
Doesn't look anything like what we have now.
This thing right here has nothing.
It's very tedious.
It's like pre-flight checks, kind of.
That is too many steps.
It's a good point.
And it was before the internet, too, so there's no web browsing or anything like that. It's just, you know, numbers and letters on a screen, which just has to look ridiculous to little kids. All right, back to Game of Thrones one more time. Dave, where were Seth Rogen and Snoop Dogg together where they ended up doing this recap of the show?
I guess Snoop does this web series, like, where he interviews people.
Remember
he did it with Larry King?
Like a regular thing?
Yeah.
Well, they're together, and they're talking about Game of Thrones, and they are both high as F, as you can tell.
Would you ever be in one of those kind of movies?
A Game of Thrones type shit? Yeah, sure. Why the fuck not? Would you?
I'd love to do that shit. To be a motherfucking king or something. Or even to be a gladiator, a warrior.
Yeah. There's not a lot of black dudes on Game of Thrones, is there?
Is there one?
I wish we could play the whole thing. That is so awesome to watch how much fun those guys are having. Our friends in Honest Trailers are back, and they always take they always get the suggestions from their viewers as to which movie they should do next. And this time they decided to do Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. And the way Honest Trailers handles it, it does look like the worst movie ever.
Join these ugly characters for a forced-in generic storyline about a young adult being the chosen one. Destined to save the kingdom from the evil monster. Because apparently Narnia, Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, and the Neverending Story didn't beat that dead horse enough.
Very funny.
Nice.
Very sad to see this week that our friend Pete Holmes had his TV show canceled, by the way.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I like what Pete was doing. And one of the things that he was doing was this X-Men, EX-Men, where he is playing Professor X, and he's basically firing the other X-Men. And this time he's firing Magneto, who's played by Rob Hubel, and it's very funny.
I forgot, you're a psychic. What's your 900 number again?
Clever. Almost as clever as your name, Magneto. I mean, I use the power of my mind. Should I be Mindo?
Yes, but one thing you may not have noticed is Neato is in there. Like, Neato. People like that.
You're telling me that people like that the word Neato is hidden in your name?
Yes, of course.
Love it. And finally on this week's Internet Roundup, our friend Jimmy Kimmel is back with volume number 7 of Celebrities Read Mean Tweets About Themselves. This is a great batch, and it's hilarious these celebrities are willing to play along with it, and especially when you get to the end and hear Sophia Vergara.
I hate Courtney Cox. I hate her. Ho.
David Blaine looks like his voice is putting his face to sleep.
Sophia Vergara sounds like she has a in her mouth. I hate hearing her talk. What's wrong with having a in my mouth?
Yeah! Exactly, yeah, what's wrong with that? Sophia. Like, that's a bad thing?
You can see all these videos and so much more right now at KevinAndBean.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today. Adam Carolla stops by later. We'll talk about the Electric Daisy Circus with the man who founded it. And actor Michael C. Hall, Dexter himself, comes up in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock.
Can we talk about the Electric Daisy Carnival as well?
Sure. Okay, both, either one.
Okay, good. Here's a story about Larry Flint. He's the guy, of course, that created and runs Hustler.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got strip clubs now, Hustler strip clubs. And he offered recently Justin Bieber $1 million to do a TV commercial for it.
Really?
Now, you say $1 million as if that's a lot. I bet Justin Bieber has never done a commercial for $1 million. I bet that's nothing to him.
I can't imagine that's nothing to anyone, but all right. All right. But we have Larry Flint on the line, so let's find out.
Oh, fantastic. What does he want Justin to do?
Right, exactly. Hello, Larry.
I wish I lived in Beansville where $1 million is nothing.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm a fairly well-off guy, but if someone offers me $1 million, I'm like, whose ass do I have to kick to get it?
So, what do you want Justin Bieber to do? I mean, is he a fan of Hustler? Have you seen him at your stores or your strip clubs or anything like that?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to one of my clubs, but I think him in an ad would be great for keeping strip club attendance here in the good old USA. Okay.
Oh, I see, rather than going up to Canada where they have legendary strip clubs.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, to inspire all of Justin's fans who are going to be coming of age soon, was have him with one of our American strippers wrapped in a flag.
Right. Okay.
And Justin encouraging, you know, everyone to, you know, use homegrown strippers. Because he set a bad example by going to that whorehouse in Rio de Janeiro, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That must have been personally offensive to you, Larry.
It was. I mean, we've got plenty of good whores right here in America. It's like those people who adopt children from other countries.
Right.
Say, what about all the kids in America that need homes?
That's right.
So what about all the whores in America that need bones?
Now, have you contacted Justin Bieber or his people?
Yeah.
You have?
We have, and we've proposed that if he does the ad, we'll give him $1 million, and also we will throw him his 21st birthday party at the Hustler Club of his choice.
Okay. Wow. And I bet you guys really know how to do a 21st birthday party at Hustler.
We've got some experience in that area.
Sure.
But I also would like to make a second offer to Justin.
Oh, I hadn't heard about this.
That for $2 million, I will give him a check for $2 million if he appears in the pages of Hustler and shows his vagina.
He has kept that pretty much under wraps up to this point.
What an amazing exclusive it would be if we could finally show Justin Bieber's vagina.
Yeah.
Pages of Hustler, and it wouldn't be any urine or anything. Just,
right.
That would be enough. His vagina would be enough. That'd be the best-selling issue you ever had.
And, you know, he's not. He doesn't have boobs. Just, you know.
Right.
But I'm sure he's got a hot little body underneath those dresses and stuff.
Yep. Sure. Yeah, sure. No, I think that's a great idea. If he'll accept, if he'll take that offer, man, you are in for a gold mine. $2 million sounds cheap for that.
I'll make it three. I'm going to go over, I'll make it cash. I'm going to walk over to my safe right now.
Larry, you can't walk. You're in a wheelchair, Larry. You're in a wheelchair. Larry, you're in a wheelchair.
Please don't get up. Oh, no. Oh. So sad. How does this happen?
I got a wheelchair spoke in my ass.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Ralph, your good friend Michael C. Hall joins us right after the top of the hour. You spent a little bit of time with him down at the Comic-Con, right?
Every year we would rehash or hash over the upcoming season of Dexter, and I missed that. I'm going to miss that this year. We did it last time for the finale, and now no Dexter this year.
Right. Well, his new film looks awesome. It's called Cold in July. Yeah. We'll talk about that coming up. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
It's official. Kim Kardashian.
Divorced?
Porn star Kim Kardashian. No, not
divorced?
Yet.
They broke up?
She has changed her name. She revealed on Twitter and Instagram that her new name will be Kim Kardashian West.
There's no way she would have left out Kardashian.
No, she's not losing the moneymaker.
No way.
Kardashian's sticking, but she's going to tack a West on the end of it.
You think Kardashian is less of a valuable name than West?
But I think West is too generic. If you're not
less of a valuable name, no, it's more. That's what I'm saying. That's why she wouldn't lose it. She wouldn't get rid of it. She didn't become Kim West.
Oh, your point is that she's keeping Kardashian.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, she's not Kim West. She's Kim Kardashian West because she's not going to lose the moneymaker. Yeah.
Right.
Plus, her mom would have disowned her. You know that.
That's right. His mom's not even a Kardashian anymore. She's a Jenner.
Right. So
how do we keep the Kardashian flame alive? We can never let Kourtney get married to Disick. We can't have Kourtney Disick. And Chloe, she's fine. She'll never get married. It's fine. No one will have her. But Kim, you have to keep the Kardashian name. Yeah, so she's committed, man. She's taking on West. She can't get rid of a name. Can't get rid of that one. That's like a tattoo. It's there forever. Speaking of the wedding, I didn't realize this until I read some reports after the fact that Lana Del Rey performed at the wedding.
Is that right?
Yes. As if I couldn't have less respect for Lana Del Rey, now I have less for her that she performed at the Kardashian West nuptials.
Obviously.
Now, I had a little respect for her because I heard that she made $2.5 million to perform at that wedding.
$2.5 million?
They paid her $2.5 million to show up and perform. I said, all right. Any event, any action that takes money away from the Kardashians in the West is a good move on my part.
Right.
Then she came out this week and said, "No, I didn't charge them a dime. I've just performed for them." So then it was like one of those graphs. It was like a spike and a little in respect. And then no. So she just went. You just went to that wedding and then you sang for those people.
That is odd.
But did you edit your own video? That's what I really wanted to ask her.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I've heard that Kim's favorite song of all time is Young and Beautiful, and that's why Kanye was going to do everything he could to get that at the wedding.
No, her favorite song of all time is Desperate to Stay Young and Beautiful. You're misunderstanding. You just got the part of the title correctly. And here's some good news. Chelsea Handler is leaving the E! Network. She will no longer have a show on E! By all accounts, when she was threatening to leave the network after her contract expired at the end of the year, said, you know what? Let's not wait till the end of the year. Why don't you just go? So apparently the end of, I guess, August? Yeah, August 26th will be her final show. Now the question becomes, of course, where will she pop up next? And you know she will, but for a little while, for a brief moment there, we should live in a Chelsea Handler-free society, which I think is what we all wanted.
Well, I think that's the goal.
Are you fired?
What happened?
Are you fired?
You're fired. That's all. That's what he said to her, basically.
Again, please.
You heard it.
No, I'm
just barely. Are you fired?
Yeah, you might want to put that in the retirement file. You want to move.
You're fired.
Much See, better. Now that has some comic impact
because you can understand it.
The other, whatever that was.
You're fired.
Yeah, that didn't really. give us much, but
I got a lot of choices.
Yeah, well, one for maybe two. Too many. Maybe too many choices.
You had one too many choices right there.
The guy speak out of the speaker at the Jack in the Box drive-thru didn't really bring much to the table.
Are you fired?
Just for saying. Yeah. Couldn't really make that out. So.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Elfman, legendary singer, songwriter, composer of many brilliant film scores, 61 years old today. Annette Bening's 56. Adrian Paul is 55. Rupert Everett is also 55. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 47. Daniel Tosh is 39. But the reason you're getting up this morning, the reason you're going into work or school, wherever you're going, is to celebrate the birthday of the Spice Girls, Mel B.
Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig.
She is so easy to buy for on her birthday. Because all she really wants is your zig a zig. I can put that in a box.
I mean, she tells you.
She tells you right there.
It's true.
There's no question. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
After only being the co-star of two of the greatest shows of all time, by the way, 6 Feet Under and Dexter, we're always excited to see what our friend Michael C. Hall is up to next. And it is Cold in July, a new film available on video on demand right now and in theaters as well. Michael C. Hall, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Great. Great to have you. Great to have you on the show. What's it like putting yourself in the mind space of 1989 while you're making this movie?
Oh, it's good. It's I graduated from high school in 1989, so it was nice to revisit that time. I knew plenty of guys who had like half a mustache driving around in Camaros.
Right.
So I did that for myself too, and what was a period specific mullet hairdo.
I was going to say that was at the beginning of the trailer. At least that's all I've seen. A pretty sweet mullet.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Now, is it set in 89 because that's where the book that it is based on was set?
That's right, yeah. And I think the director felt like there was something tonally about the book that felt so right that he didn't want to mess with that.
Right. There is something about you're set in Texas in the summertime, and it's balmy and it's hot and everybody's on edge. And there is something in the air down there that just makes everything scary, I think. I mean, this trailer is terrifying, and you basically are defending your castle. That's what happens. You get broken into one night, and that starts off a chain that that changes your whole life, right?
Yeah, I mean, Richard is just a regular guy. I mean, I think the most exciting thing that's going on in his life before the movie starts is that he decided to grow a mustache a couple of weeks ago. and his life just spirals into real chaos, not because of any inherently crazy thing within him, but all having to do with the crazy things happening externally. So that was fun for me.
I thought it was kind of funny after all that time as Dexter to watch you fumble with a gun and try desperately because your hands are shaking too much, like you're scared out of your mind. And a lot of people were saying, hey, why don't you do comedy? But to me, this is the opposite of what Dexter was. Dexter just pulls out a knife.
Absolutely. It was nice to play someone for whom, you know, when things go crazy, his heart starts beating faster. It doesn't slow down.
Right.
he's a normal guy. And it was actually, when Dexter ended, it felt sort of appropriate to go do this movie and visit the idea of, you know, killing somebody from a more typically human perspective.
Right. And you probably, your character thinks, and I'm not giving anything away, this is in the trailer, you shoot and kill a burglar, and you probably think, well, that was unfortunate. I wish that didn't have to happen, but at least it's in the past now. And that's just the beginning of trouble because you can't imagine what comes after you. I mean, Sam Shepard plays your victim's father, right?
That's right.
He is one of the greatest actors of all time, and I can't imagine what a thrill it was for you to be working with him every day.
It was incredible. I mean, not only, you know, my sense of him as an actor, but also as a writer and a playwright. I think any actor of my generation or other generations, as they come to terms with who they are as an actor, moves through his material, does a scene of his or a production of one of his plays. And, it was an amazing thing. He's a true icon. So giving over to the idea that I was scared of him or intimidated was pretty easy.
But he, you know what was also fantastic about, you know, again, I've only seen the trailer, but he so underplays it. When he's threatening your son, he's just like, hey, you got a son, huh? Like, he's just so low-key, but super scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he was fantastic in this movie. I mean, I think he's sort of in the midst of a renaissance in terms of his acting career, but I think this is as fine a performance as he's given.
And when you talk about a renaissance, I mean, I remember being surprised to see Don Johnson come back on Eastbound and Down in those final two seasons, and he was great on that show. That's a guy who I hadn't seen in a lot in recent years, but he looks amazing in your movie, too. I mean, the guy, we think of him as a TV star from the 80s, but the truth is he's still a great working actor.
He is. He has chops, man. He's a really, really fine actor, and I don't know. It was an amazing thing. I think if you flip the coin of quintessential 80s masculinity, Sam Shepard and Don Johnson might be on either side of the coin. So,
do you feel like a little girl on set, Michael?
I'm not gonna cop to that. I felt like a little kid. I mean, those scenes where I'm sitting in the back of the car,
right?
You know, basically, like the guy saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Where are we going? Where are we going?" Guys? You know, I mean, it was pretty easy to do, given that those two guys were sitting in the front.
Yeah, we are talking to actor Michael C. Hall here on the Kevin Bean Show. The new film is called Cold in July. It looks awesome. It's in theaters and available on video on demand right now. I'm sure you were happy, as much as you enjoyed Dexter, you were happy when it was finally over and kind of have the freedom to spend time doing other kinds of acting. Do you think you'll stick with movies for a while, or are you looking around for another TV show, you think?
You know, I've learned to never say never. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of doing something on TV, though I have certainly no immediate plans on that front. The idea of mixing it up and doing things that have an end in sight at the beginning is appealing, and films fit that bill. Right now I'm doing a play on Broadway called The Realistic Joneses. I run that through July. But it's been nice since Dexter ended to be able to mix it up a bit.
It's just, I mean, obviously you deserve it. But, you know, people hire you because you're a terrific actor. But, I mean, after 6 Feet Under, I remember thinking, wow, you and Peter Krause, are you ever going to be able to find something as good as this again? And both of you went on to do just that. So, I mean, it's really, I guess it's a blessing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes the things that create our opportunities are, you know, things we carry with us. I mean, I recognize that 6 Feet Under and Dexter will probably be in the first paragraph of my obituary, if not the first sentence, but that's okay.
That's a lot better than my obituary.
Well, you could be guy who watched 6 Feet Under and Dexter, Kevin. You could be that. Well, we're very excited about this film. I mean, it just looks it looks pulpy and terrifying and fun, and I can't wait to see it. Cold in July, it's called. We always enjoy having you on. And is it going to be – last question for you, Michael. Is it going to be weird for you to not be at Comic-Con this year?
Yeah, I think when that you know, comes and go and comes and goes, and when there's a presence in the press about it, I will think, wow.
You'd be like, hey, I used to be invited to that.
8 years that I haven't sat up there. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Hey, thanks for the time, man. Always great to catch up with you.
All right, take care,
Michael C. Hall. Thanks. The movie is Cold in July.
Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
Did a story yesterday about Amber Heard, mm-hmm. talking about her immense beauty,
yeah.
and how she's not responsible for it. It's just the way she was born. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I like her sort of matter-of-fact detachment from the fact that she is smoking hot. She takes no great pleasure or pride in it. She simply says, that was the genetic hand I was dealt. You can't really, you know, I'm not responsible for it, so I can't be particularly proud of it. It is what it is, and I try to live a full life of keeping myself involved in other things. I don't focus on it so much.
However, which is refreshing. Yes. What she doesn't say is, looking like me gets you engaged to Johnny Depp. She doesn't say that, though.
Yes, she's a beautiful girl who's a very talented actress who lives in a rarefied atmosphere, admittedly.
And that got us into a conversation about what life must be like for those that are so genetically blessed. And you were suggesting, and I thought this was interesting, we thought we'd explore it a little bit more today, that maybe there are some downsides to being always the prettiest person in the room that we don't really think about.
I don't think there's maybe about it. I think there's absolutely a tremendous downside. Obviously, we all recognize the upsides because most of us aren't particularly specially attractive.
Most people are average.
And so, right. So we look at those people who are beautiful and we say, oh, my God, that is what I would die to be. That's what I aspire to be. They must have the world by the ass simply because of their looks. And I think, yes, obviously there are some advantages. They say, more attractive people do better in job interviews, let's say, than ugly people do or average people do. You can manipulate, I suppose, that situation to your benefit if you're that kind of person. But my point of view is that there must be a tremendous downside, especially being a beautiful woman in this society, from the standpoint of the tremendous nonstop barrage of unwanted, unsolicited attention and come-ons, and I mean, it just must be exhausting to deal with that for your entire life. I mean, think about someone who says, I became rich later in life, and now I don't know who I can trust anymore because I don't know whether people just like me for me or like me for my money. At least that person had a semblance of a life before that moment where they did know what people's intentions were and what their motivations were. Or someone says, I'm famous now and I don't have the same kind of connection I do with my friends because people like me, because they want to be around me because I'm famous. If you're a beautiful person, you've been attractive your whole life, you've never known anything else other than people who want something from you sexually or for attention-wise or something. It must be, I think, a tremendously grueling existence.
Now, I would have guessed yesterday when you were talking about this, it would be 80% positive, 20% negative. You guessed 50-50.
I did, yeah. Because I think there are moments, sporadic moments throughout your life where that attractiveness comes in handy and you can use it to your advantage. But I think the day-to-day, the in-and-out, walking down the street, going to the supermarket, going to the car wash, that is when they have this constant barrage of unwanted, unsolicited attention.
And probably
which I think for a beautiful woman must get really sort of disheartening.
And probably from the wrong people.
That's the thing. You know what dicks certain guys can be.
That probably
Bean.
Is key.
And how creepy some Bean people can be. Imagine every catcall from every construction worker and every guy at a bar. Like, hey, pretty lady, why don't I get you a martini? I'm not drinking tonight. Yeah, but how'd you like to drink what's in my pants? I mean, that guy. You got to deal with him every time you go out.
Bean.
By the way,
Bean. Just for the record, when I am out and run across attractive women in day-to-day at the gas station, sure, or the supermarket, or the dentist, or whatever, yeah, I don't talk to any of them.
Right?
I'm one of those people who is too intimidated to talk to girls that are too pretty.
Oh, that's not true.
I am not going to fight above my weight class. I'm just not.
I wish that was the case here on the radio show.
Well, we have a little bit of a buffer.
You should be on every day, Candace.
We have a little buffer here. All right.
You have a very little buffer from what I've heard.
What we're looking for,
and use the little buffer,
1-800-520-1067 is, and I know this sounds like something that Kevin and Bean would come up with just to talk to really, really beautiful women, but we're seriously interested in this. What are the downsides?
Did this happen yesterday, Ralph? Did this happen? Did, in response to your story, did Bean go, we should talk to hot women?
Yes.
We should talk to hot chicks.
Yes, he did.
Because I think it's worth investigating further. I think Ralph brings up an excellent question that I think many people listening have not thought about. I think you're right, Ralph. I think most people look at the super attractive and go, they got it made. It's like they're just floating on air through life.
And they don't realize that every time they get out of their car and walk into Target, it's a minefield for them because they have people looking at them and talking to them and staring at
them.
You want to talk to Maria real quick before the break, and then we'll come back and take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Maria. Thank you so much for listening and calling. What's going on?
Hey, so, my name is Maria. I am smokingly hot. Hit the genetic lottery.
Okay.
And got brains, too. I have not gotten jobs twice in my life because I was told it takes more than a pretty face to work here.
What?
I'm a computer programmer.
But wait a minute. So they thought you couldn't possibly have beauty and brains, so they just assumed you only were pretty, therefore weren't qualified for the work.
Absolutely.
But couldn't you convince them that you knew it?
Well, I mean, it's a job interview. California's a right to work. They can not hire you for any reason, right? So
right.
Those are the comments that I got.
And I do imagine.
Believe me.
I'm sorry. I do imagine for beautiful women, what you choose to do makes a big difference. Like if you want to be an actress or you want to be a model, it's a pretty big boost. But if you're into the sciences or other kinds of things or being a teacher sometimes, that could be a big problem.
I definitely think it could be. But now I've got a great job and definitely relied more on my brains. But,
what
you know, being hot does get you further in the career.
Would you say, what's
yeah,
the
you
percentages?
Wouldn't give it up, right,
would
Maria?
You say 50-50?
I would definitely say not 50-50 in my profession. You need to actually have some intelligence to get ahead.
Right.
You can't do the job.
But in terms of just your life experience, in terms of your quality of life, would you say being very attractive is a much the upside is much bigger than the downside, or would you say it's probably about even?
No, the upside is much, much better than the downside.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fantastic. And I bet there are some work environments, by the way, where they feel like a woman who is too pretty would be a ridiculous distraction to everybody else at work. Do you remember the supermodel that we had answering the phones at K-Rock a few years ago? How many times a day did Ralph walk by her desk during the show? I mean, it was insane how pretty she was.
Yeah.
It was nicely distracting.
Who's talking about?
Janelle?
Yeah, she would put lotion on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she did that video for us.
She was very pretty.
Yeah. Were she ate bananas? Yep.
All right, Maria, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling.
We didn't exploit that.
No.
Hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I would like to say, by the way, for all the heat we take on this show, that we are standing up for the downtrodden. We have found a group of people who need our help, and we are giving a voice to the voiceless. That's what we're doing here today.
USA!
Right?
USA! USA!
Thank you, Beer Mug. We're talking about, well, Ralph, you just joined us back in studio. Tell folks who just tuned in why we have the most attractive Kevin and Bean listeners in the world on the phone right now.
I just think there's a tremendous downside to being exceptionally beautiful. I think often, as Maria, our first caller, mentioned, your brains are suspect. Your intelligence is suspect because you're very attractive. People don't assume you can have both. I think what primarily I think would be difficult for women is the tremendous amount of unwarranted attention and being hit on all the time and inappropriate comments and stares and stuff. I would think that would really start to grate.
I wonder if they would also get negative reaction from women, from girls.
Jealousy,
yeah,
and
whatever.
Issues. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and then we didn't even bring this up, but I also feel as women who are primarily identified for their looks start to age, I think they must feel a tremendous amount of pressure to try to maintain whatever that was, because that was the largest part of their the identity given to them by society for a small time.
But they should move away, right?
What?
They should just move away.
When they get older and less attractive, they should just move away?
See, yeah,
that's what
there
I'm talking
you go,
about.
Right there.
That right there is what I'm talking
Let's
about.
Let's talk to Leslie real quick. She's in the demographic you're talking about here. She's on line 4, and she calls us from Huntington Beach, where, by the way, a lot of competition for the hottest chick in Huntington Beach. I'll tell you that. Hi, Leslie. Thanks so much for calling.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
What's going on?
Good. You know, it's true. It does bring on a lot of unwanted attention, and unfortunately, it tends to not be from the demographic that you want.
Yeah.
In a couple of years, I've been single. I don't get asked out by the guys that I would like to go out with. I get asked out by homeless men.
Right. Hey, and you don't know till you give them a chance.
And you think that maybe those the quality guys are intimidated by you because you're so pretty, probably, right?
That's my guess. That's my guess.
And we've
then,
heard that
and
a lot.
Then when you reject the homeless man or the one you wouldn't necessarily be interested in going out
Bean,
with.
Bean.
I'm sorry. Say that again. When you reject them, what happens?
I get called a bitch.
No.
Wow.
Wow. Well, are you bitchy when you turn them down?
No. I'm actually out of my way to be really nice to everybody.
In fairness, Leslie, any woman, no matter what she looks like, if she turns us down, we think she's a bitch. So it's not just beautiful.
Because that way it's not us.
Yeah.
That way it's not a bad reflection on us.
That's right.
Right.
We are sorry for your burden. Thank you so much for the call. You always have a place that you can come to in the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's go to Lauren. She's on line 3. She's from Marina Del Rey, and she has a plan.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi there.
Too hot.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'm 5'9", and I have long blonde hair. And when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the gas station, my life has completely changed. Like, my posture, I don't stand up straight anymore. You know, it affects the clothes I pick, so I don't attract the wrong attention. And I'm also working towards, you know, a corporate job, and it kind of affects how I present myself in that environment.
I imagine you do. You try to dress down. Oh, you guys.
Stop it.
This is such
it's
a double-edged sword for
right.
these women.
No, it's a very sad. Why have this conversation with these douchebags? That's the problem.
I'm saying I feel for Lauren. She has to dress down when she's running errands because she's too sexy, you guys. It's tough.
By the way, she's disguising her true self just to go out and not be bothered so much. I think that's horrible.
I agree.
No, you don't.
You're an ass.
Stop playing the music then.
Lauren, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you listening. Look,
there in are essence, some... think about it. Extreme beauty is sort of a birth defect.
I would rather have that birth defect than mine, though.
But sure.
Wouldn't you?
It's a good birth defect, but it is a freak of nature, right?
Yeah.
So if you are changing the way you dress and your posture and you're almost sort of hiding yourself,
you have to ugly yourself
from
up.
People... That's a horrible world to live your life in. Most of us just put on our clothes and we go about our business. We never appreciate the fact that we can be largely anonymous and just go about our lives.
Ralph,
I agree.
I don't agree completely because I know lots of women, myself included, who will wear big like sweatshirts to the grocery stores
like a burqa?
To not be bothered. And I'm not at all stunning in any way. And yet men still follow you and track you around.
Oh, we can tell.
I mean, a lot of women who aren't stunning do that. You'd be surprised.
So it's just men or dick.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm
We're
saying.
We're the problem. It's not women's beauty. It's men.
Well. Let's go to Tara. She's in Northridge. She's on line 6, by the way. Somebody brought up what it's like, how it affects the interaction with your female friends. And that's what Tara's calling us about.
Hi, Tara.
Hi, guys.
Hi, there.
Hi, Lisa May. I was calling because, you know, my whole life I've really had a hard time keeping girlfriends. And my best friend since I've known since I was 9, she has a problem, like, with me hugging her husband. So much so that her husband came up to me and was like, yeah, she doesn't really like me hugging you.
Wow.
We're still best friends. But
that's weird. Have you ever had that conversation with her?
No. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't. If she feels jealous enough to tell her husband about it and he felt like he had to tell me, I feel like I don't want to.
Isn't that interesting? It's completely innocent, and if you were an average-looking friend, she wouldn't have any problem with it at all.
Well, and the thing is she hugs my husband, so, you know, it's just kind of weird.
But like, she's a beast, though, right, Sarah? You're not threatened by her because she's a beast.
Oh, yeah, I'm not threatened by her, but, you know, I just feel like I don't think it should be like that.
Yeah.
But I've had this problem my whole life with women, like... All my girlfriends will go out, and they won't invite me to the club. And I'm like, hey, well, you know, what's going on? And it's like, I kind of feel like they just don't want me to be the hottest girl there. You know?
They don't.
Want the competition.
Yeah. They don't. And
yeah, I mean, when a guy comes up to the table, he's going to try for you because you're the best-looking one at the table. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Tara. Appreciate that.
Okay, so the problem isn't men, really. It's women. Women are the problem. Now
we're confused.
Yes.
Guys, let's talk to a high school English teacher, Leslie, on line 3. We have often talked about how crazy – tough it must be to be attractive, you know, 25-year-old when you're teaching high school kids. Like, it must be a nightmare, right?
Leslie?
Oh, it's totally a nightmare.
High school teacher.
Oh, yes. It's very strange. When I first started, I was incredibly young. I was only 23 when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because, you know, I would dress appropriately, but I've been told I have a sex pot body.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an issue. Genetics blessed me with a large chest, a very narrow waist,
right.
Lovely hips, and a booty you could grab onto. And unfortunately, that becomes a huge issue when you're around pubescent boys all day.
Yeah.
I can imagine, especially high school. What the?
Or elderly men. Or middle-aged men, or men in their 20s, or...
men in general.
Yeah.
They have a second brain that they just can't control, apparently.
You're right.
Yep, we're back to men.
It's men's fault.
It's men.
Do you guys feel that we're not going to be able to solve this problem in phone conversations with our listeners? That it may be time to have a get together where we can really just get together with these listeners and just hash it out.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Leslie. I'm saying we're willing to work overtime and show up at night somewhere to get together with all of our listeners who have this problem, like a support group. We could lead a support group for the hottest chicks in Southern California.
I think it's a great idea. I think Bean should lead a support group of all these beautiful women. All the women should bring aluminum softball bats with them. And then we'll take Bean out in the parking lot and we'll have a little blanket party. And we'll teach him what it's like to be beautiful.
Oh, yes. Only if we're allowed to dress the way we'd like to dress and not how we have to dress.
Good enough.
When we come to work.
I like it.
Done.
I like
no
it.
Rules at our meeting. Thank you, Leslie. We appreciate the call.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Wasn't there a co-pilot? Well, couldn't the co-pilot get in the pilot seat and then she would get in his seat?
No, I don't know.
Did you run out of breath for that?
I did.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Wow. Take a breath, for God's sake.
Yeah.
We're having fun now, aren't we? It was Doug Kriegel.
It totally was.
Pasquale Rotella in the next room will be joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the Electric Daisy Carnival and so much more going on in his world. Because you know Kevin is Mr. Dance or Die. So
that's
he's very, very excited about this.
That's how I roll.
That's coming up first, though. Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
We were just talking about pretty women, sexy women, who people think just because of the way they look, they may not have the most intelligence in the world,
sure.
The biggest brains.
Sure.
Pam Anderson, one of the iconic TV hotties of all time, right? She probably faces the same situation, and it's really not fair. For example, she was at the Beverly Hills Hotel Polo Lounge. And she walked up to a man, approached him, and said, "You look so familiar to me." And the guy was happy to meet her and extended his hand. They shook hands. And
did
he said,
"Pam Anderson?"
No, he said, "Well, it's because I used to be the vice president." And Pam Anderson asked, "Of what?"
Oh, no, really?
Al Gore replied,
"Oh, no.
The United States of America."
Yeah.
And that was the end of the conversation.
That's awesome.
Say onlookers. You look familiar. I used to be vice president.
No.
What?
That's not it.
What?
That's awesome.
The United States. Yeah.
Would there be a phone topic in talking to our listeners about the biggest celebrity they didn't recognize? Hung out with, partied with, found out after the fact who it was,
that's
I wonder.
Funny.
I don't know. Can you really party with a big celebrity and not know?
It must happen sometimes.
I think people are sometimes surprised what folks look like in real life. Maybe. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
One more question, Mr. Gore. Do you like cheese? And if so, what kind?
Cheese.
Sure.
Yeah, I like cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Nice to talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you. See you again, sir.
Yeah. See, we knew who he was.
Time well spent. He'd rather talk to Pamela Anderson again than have to talk to you two again with your cheese questions.
Well, we tried to craft a question which he couldn't possibly have had a politically correct answer prepared for.
So you went for the shocking cheese?
No, just
route?
Something that threw him a little off. What are we going to ask him? At the time, what were we going
to
ask him?
Things that were germane to the vice presidency.
Politicians have politicians speak, so we didn't want that.
No, you want a cheese speak.
That may not have been the best choice, but that was the intention.
What? So you broke through and got to the cheese level of Al Gore?
We did.
All right. Point.
I'm not
made
proud, but that was the thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thinking in quotes.
Yeah.
Too much information. Reality shows are rife with this. No one more so than this Tori Spelling reality show. In the finale of the show True Tory, it was revealed that Tory's husband, Dean McDermott, who apparently is a serial cheater, has Tory's name tattooed above his penis.
Too much information and man.
Yeah. It didn't stop him, Tory told her friend. You know the tattoo he has, right? Down there it says Tory. It's above the pubis. It says Tory's. And then months later he cheated on me. Now, there's a phone topic for you. Worst tattoos. How many guys have names on their nether regions? And ladies, too.
Seems like penis tattoos, vagina tattoos, not a good idea.
Ever. Yeah. Or butthole tattoos, either, by the way.
Oh, no, I'm in favor of those.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
All
right.
Well, and it also seems like if you're having sex with someone who is married, and you know they're married, you kind of want to put that out of your mind. And isn't it? Aren't you being reminded of that when you're looking at his wife's name in the act?
Look at it close up, look far away. Look at it close up, look at it far away. Look at it close up, look at it far away.
You're already there. You already know. You don't care. That's obvious.
That is true.
And One Direction fans are upset. They're in a lather. New video online this week showing Zayn Malik and Lewis Tomlinson smoking a joint on camera. It was shot in Peru when One Direction was on tour there last month. Some angry fans are posting photos of themselves burning concert tickets.
Well, they can't be good musical entertainers if they smoke pot, Ralph.
Little girls are furious that their heroes are smoking pot. Wait till that seal clubbing video breaks this week. They're really going to be upset.
One Direction does that too?
One Direction with just axe handles just murdering baby seal pups. Boy, times have changed since the music of the 60s and 70s.
Yes, they have.
There would be a time where people would be upset if your band didn't smoke pot.
Yeah.
John Lennon had to claim the Beatles were bigger than Jesus Christ to get a rise out of people. That's what he had. That's the extent he had to go to. They're smoking pot. So what, girls? Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Elfman, 61. Annette Bening is 56. Adrian Paul is 55. Rupert Everett, the very talented actor, is also 55. Noel Gallagher of the legendary band Oasis is 47. Daniel Tosh is 39. And singer Mel B is 39 years old today. Mel, what do you want for your birthday?
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig. If you want my future, forget my past.
I gotta tell you, that sounds like a song that they would write and go, let's see what we can get away with. What
How
nonsense lyrics
How
we could get away with.
Dare you.
That is absurd.
That is brilliant. Spice Girls are now and forever like cats. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kevin, you're going to have to step up your game, man. You really are going to have to dance or die in this next half hour.
The CEO and founder of Insomniac, the creators of the Electric Daisy Carnival, which is coming to Las Vegas June 20th through the 22nd. Pasquale Rotella joins us in studio right now on the Kevin Beach Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I don't know how long you... I'm fascinated to learn your background. I don't know how long you've been a fan of EDM, but no one could have imagined how big these festivals have gotten.
Right?
It's crazy. I mean, it blows my mind. And it's still getting, you know, it's still getting bigger. It's still growing. So,
how many do you do a year?
Festivals, you know, between 15 to 18 festivals a year.
Holy hell, that sounds...
That's just the festivals. We have, you know, clubs and concerts and special events that we do. There's hundreds of those throughout the year.
Wow. So you stay busy.
Yeah.
take us back to how you got into this. How did you end up being a concert promoter?
I just, you know, I was a fan. I went out to underground parties before, you know, the word EDM, even before a lot of the genres of music that exist now were around. There was only pretty much techno and house music, and techno didn't mean the same thing that it does mean now.
Right.
And, you know, I was a fan, and the scene, the culture pretty much just died because it was, you know, there was a task force shutting down warehouse parties, and there was a stigma, and it was just, you know, it was pretty brutal for the culture. So I couldn't sleep. I'm an insomniac, literally. I cannot sleep at night. I'm always thinking of ideas, and it meant so much to me. I originally started doing these events because I wanted a place for me and my friends to go. Because there was nowhere to go.
I love it. Such a small, selfish reason. I love it. I need to party. Yep. I need to party, so I'm going to create something.
And I found out quickly that throwing a party wasn't a party.
right. Yes.
So it was a lot of work. And but then I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed people coming through the doors and me being behind the scenes and seeing their faces light up, you know, and, you know, getting, you know, feeling their energy and feeling the hype that came out of the shows. I really liked it a lot.
What did you have to overcome in the early days of putting on when the festivals started to get bigger? You go into a city, and let's face it, the people who are running the city are not at all familiar with the kind of music you put on. So they're scared of it, right? They don't know what they're agreeing to, and I imagine they put up a lot of roadblocks for you.
Yeah, it's the question, what problem didn't I have? I mean, they you know, everything from finding a venue to, everything. I mean, there was nothing that was easy about
it. It's hard to find a venue that fits 350,000 people or however many had last year in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's our home. Luckily, we do have the Las Vegas Motor Speedway now. We're doing over 3 days. We're going to do 400,000 people. It's about 134,000 people a day.
Just made the announcement yesterday?
Yesterday,
of the lineup, Avicii and Afrojack and Calvin Harris and Oakenfold and Tiesto and, and Dot of Life, a whole bunch.
Yep.
You should have just put up everyone. You just put that up. I mean, that's just everyone.
You know what's funny? We pretty much have everyone. There'll be like 10 guys we don't have.
Right.
And those are the 10 guys. You know, I think people wait for the lineup to come out and then point out who we don't have. And they'll find everyone. You know, there'll be like 10 people, but they'll say, oh, man, you know what? I shouldn't have bought my ticket because those 10 guys.
Does that make you want to go, hey,
Mother effer, look at the list.
It's crazy.
Look, I mean, at who we do have.
Yeah, and it's not even about that. It's not about, you know, we want the best DJs in the world, and I'm fans of, you know, certain producers and DJs myself that I always want to see, but it's not about that. It's about the party. It's about the whole happening. It's about being there and, you know, discovering new stuff,
well,
too.
Well, that's part of the fun of it is I don't know everyone, of course, so I have the people that I want to see, but you wander around. It's sort of like Coachella, but you wander around. You can see DJs that you've never heard of before. You don't know who they are. You listen to it for a while. You don't like it. Move on to the next place. It's really it's cool that way to be able to discover new talent.
Yeah, there's so much to see, you know, and the seven areas. There's so much. There's also a lot more than just music. You know, there's a lot of art. There's theatrics. You know, the people themselves are, I mean, people watching, it's like the best
it is
thing
crazy.
In the world.
Yeah.
So,
it really is. People watching, it really is just gold.
Yeah, and there's an energy there that's really, you know, that's something that's kept me, you know, I love it as much as the first day I walked into a show, and it's the people, you know, and the energy that they put out, and there's nothing like it in the world.
We're talking to Pasquale Rotella here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the 18th annual Electric Daisy Carnival, which is coming to Las Vegas next month. Is there something about this kind of music that makes people mellow and feel like it's a new utopian world and they're on the inside and everybody else is on the outside and it's just happy, happy times for those people when they step through your doors?
You know, yeah, people get a lot out of this culture. I mean, I've been into hip hop and into rock and roll and I love it all. But the live side of a dance music event, it brings people, you know, together, and there's so many different genres to pick from. I mean, not all of it's going to make you feel mellow. There's, you know, hardcore, you know, there's
right.
chill out ambient sounds, you know, so, and everything in between. But you know, I do think that it's unique to other genres of music, and it does, you know, people, I mean, it took 20 years for the music to blow up, and people didn't give up on it, you know. I mean, people that heard it, because it took a while for most people to actually hear the music.
Right.
And some people needed to go to a live, experience it live to really take it in. But those people that did love it, they never gave up on it.
But don't you think it's just my opinion, but the reason it exploded is because those artists started writing songs or playing songs, like more of a song structure than it started out with.
The music's definitely gotten better, and, you know, there was – I have to give credit to, you know, David Guetta and Black Eyed Peas, you know, they – you know, for exposing the music to a wider audience. I mean, they were at the forefront of that.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, the music did get better, but, I mean, I do believe that the – you know, it's one of the best parties in the world. I mean, you know, it's like – a New Year's Eve or a Mardi Gras, but with amazing music. And it's not just music.
Right.
The music is as important as other things, but there's a lot of other things that make it everything that it is. And you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that in, you know, at some other
type of
shows.
I first discovered EDC because I was in Las Vegas and I was at the World Series of Poker and I got knocked out and I was bummed. And then all of these people started walking. And I was like, what in God's name is going on here?
Why are they dressed like peacocks?
So I had a couple of drinks and I joined some people and went out and I didn't even know what it was and it was awesome. I found myself at 4 a.m. I can't even remember who I was watching, but it really is just a party. It's just a giant party.
It's a giant party. And you're not
there.
Do you
sleep much that weekend, Pasquale?
I don't sleep enough in general. But
yeah.
That weekend is it long hours,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we have to take a break, by the way. We're talking about the Electric Daisy Carnival, which is sadly sold out, but an unbelievable lineup. I mean, this is one of those festivals, kids, that sells out before the lineup is revealed. But as Kevin mentioned, Avicii and Afrojack and Calvin Harris, Paul Oakenfold, Tiesto, Chromeo, Dada Life. I mean, if you've heard of them, they're on the bill.
Aoki is there.
Yeah, Cascade, Martin Garrix. It's an unbelievable three-day festival, June 20th through the 22nd. We got a lot more to talk to Pasquale about, including the movie Under the Electric Sky. For those of us who can't go to the festival, it's kind of a chance for you to see it near where you live. We'll take a quick break and come back with more right after this on cable. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla next hour, and your chance to win tickets for K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, which is going to be this Saturday. You know, we've been doing this show for a long time. I don't believe we've ever had a Pasquale on the program. I think you might be our first ever Pasquale as a guest.
I don't
I love that.
Pretty exciting, right?
I'm not sure that's a category, but okay. All right.
Pasquale Rotella is in studio with us. He is the CEO and founder of Insomniac Events. They're the nice people that put on the Electric Daisy Carnival every summer in Las Vegas and festivals all over the world. The logistics of preparing for 300,000 plus, that's got to be, as much as you're into the music and you want to put on a great show, that's got to be a lion's share of your time. It's just trying to figure out how to make that safe and doable for that many people. And it's a big city that springs up out of nowhere.
Yeah, we start working on it right after it happens. We're already working on it.
You're already working on the next year.
Yeah.
You just have the one porta potty, right?
It's such a big location, though, that you don't feel like you're one of 150,000 or whatever it is. You feel like it's kind of your own little experience.
Yeah, so fortunate to find that venue. I mean, it's perfect.
Until 8:30 in the morning when you can't get a cab. Then it feels like there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Pasquale, tell us about, for folks who aren't lucky enough to already have tickets to the sold-out EDC in June, tell us about the movie. The trailer is magnificent. It's called Under the Electric Sky. How can people see it?
Well, it's sold out pretty much. It's actually screening tonight for the first time to the public. And we started by doing these fan-created screenings through a company called Tug. And that's that starts tonight and goes on for the next week. Unfortunately, majority of those showings are sold out. But at the end of June, we're going to have a traditional theatrical showing. And
love
that's
going
to be across the U.S. and you'll be able to
and
see it.
And it's 3D?
In it is 3D, yeah.
Do you do something extra with the sound? Do you sweeten the sound somehow, since that's basically a lot of what it's about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing. The sound is really good. We tried to get it into THX theaters. We're still negotiating for the June release, mm-hmm. where it's showing, and some theaters have surround sound and better sounds than others. So, you know, we're doing our best to pick the theaters, but the movie business is a whole different ball game. So, you know, we're not in control of it like we're setting up our own events.
Right.
So we're doing the best we can to get it into the best theaters with the best sound.
Was this made during the creation of last year's festival?
Yeah, it was filmed last year, and we followed around fans, you know, and them getting prepared for the show and their experiences throughout the weekend.
So you talk about
– You didn't. You didn't.
I hope not.
We didn't get Kevin on film is what you're hoping, right?
Because I'm not positive exactly all of what happened.
You had panties on your head at some point, Kevin. I do know that. And they weren't yours.
I don't know.
Who do we see perform in the film, Pasquale?
Fatboy Slim, Tiesto, Above and Beyond. Who else? Cascade composed. Jason Bentley did the music supervision for the movie.
Enough.
Yeah.
it's unbelievable. It's so exciting how much stuff is going on. And you told us during the break there that you have also – you now have a record label.
Yeah, we just
– you're branching out even further.
Really exciting. We did a partnership with Interscope. And,
okay.
And I grew up, you know, listening to albums off of Interscope, and I'm super excited to be part of, you know, working with them.
So are you going to be running this record company now too?
Yeah, me and Interscope together. It's our team and their team coming together.
Because you're not busy enough?
Right.
That's your feeling?
Right. It was a natural, you know, we're already doing something called the Discovery Project, where up-and-coming producers that, you know, it was so hard to break in, you know.
Right.
It's such a competitive market. And we, you know, wanted to give people a chance. So we have a competition that goes on called the Discovery Project. And the winners get to play at an EDC or Nocturnal Wonderland, another festival that we do, and that turned into this label opportunity because we were discovering great
That's
guys.
Pretty strong,
yeah.
Wow. Well, things are changing so much in the EDC world, and you know, and in the EDM world as well, in the bigger picture. So you can go to electricdaisycarnival.com, undertheelectricsky.com for the movie, insomniac.com if you want more information on the events all over the world. And I imagine, as we say goodbye to you, Pasquale, I imagine that part of your biggest problem now is trying to keep people away from you who are always coming to you saying, hey, sign me, or hey, put me on the bill. I mean, you must be deluged with talent.
I love it. And
who's the youngest person that ever approached you? You know, Martin Garrix just turned 18, but yeah. Who, like, is there like an 8 or 9 year old that went, you got to hear my stuff?
I have childhood friends that have had kids that are already making beats that are like 9, 8, 9 years old.
Oh,
that are
crazy.
They're like, you should listen to this. He's going to be a star. You know? So pretty young.
Well, thanks for all the hard work you've been doing for so long, and thanks for making the Electric Daisy Carnival such an awesome event. Hey, actually, real final question. Will we ever come back to Los Angeles? Will we ever come back to Southern California with the festival?
I would love to. You know, EDC, we have other festivals in the Southern California area.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But EDC is so big, I need to find the right venue. That's the hardest part. We're so developed over here. And you know,
and we all like an excuse to go to Las Vegas, so I'm fine if you leave it there too.
Well, no, I wouldn't. It would be in addition to.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be instead of. It would be kind of like we're doing EDC New York and EDC Vegas. We'd be adding Los Angeles again.
Awesome.
We just need to find that land. So if any of you know of any good venues,
if you guys have some land
shout,
for
shout
sale.
Out. Yeah.
If you got a Taco Bell with a good parking lot, let us know. All right, Pasquale, a real pleasure to meet you, man. Keep in touch. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 tickets for you in less than 30 minutes right here on the Kevin Bean Show. And then Adam Carolla joins us next hour. Hey, speaking of Adam Carolla, his old friend Dr. Drew Pinsky's on the phone. Hey, Doc.
We're still friends, to be fair.
Yes. Yeah, his old friend, Adam Carolla. Oh, Dr. Drew is Adam Carolla's old friend. Absolutely. Yeah.
Old friend and current friend.
There you go.
Current
you
friend.
Go. Thank
right.
you, Kevin.
All right. Doc, I know you've spent a lot of time on your weeknight HLN show chewing over this story, this horrible story out of Santa Barbara with Elliot Rodger, and I just have so many questions and so limited time. What's your psychoanalysis on this kid?
Well, again, it's a little lighthearted romp to start the morning.
Yeah, good times.
You're talking about mass murder, but here we go. This kid, as best we can tell, again, piecing together what's available about him. And by the way, I read his whole 141-page manifesto. It's hard to slog through. He wrote a 141-page manifesto chronicling his life from the age of 3 on. And it is packed with profound, rigid, narcissistic, just constant narcissistic preoccupation and delusions of grandeur. He literally calls himself a divine power on earth.
Wow.
That he should be ruling the world and bringing it, you know, into line with his needs, and it really just it's just very difficult to read. So
why was he so unhappy? He's a good-looking, well-to-do white kid. Why? What was going so bad for him?
He apparently also had some sort of a neurodevelopmental disorder that made it almost impossible for him to socialize. He couldn't read social cues, and he had essentially no ability to interact with other people.
Bean! Bean!
Bean! Let the man talk.
Bean mostly just misreads social cues.
Right.
He's actually able to navigate a bit. Certainly as compared to this kid, who literally was invisible to other kids. I mean, in his manifesto, he chronicles how he was bullied and abused and how horrible the kids were. Yet I literally spoke to one of his behavioral specialists and a principal who said that other kids just weren't even aware of him. He just never interacted. He never said anything. And other kids would reach out. They were kind to him, and he would literally shut them down and sometimes be rather aggressive and short, and they just would sort of give up.
So he was just sort of out on his own by his own problems, right?
And depressed. So depression.
Right.
And overwhelmed with anxiety. She also described an episode where he was trying to walk down the hall in a busy high school campus and became frozen with fear and literally couldn't move, almost had to be carried out of the hallway because he was so overwhelmed. So this kid had tons of psychiatric issues. The tragedy in all this is that things didn't seem to be treated. And part of it was he was rejecting the treatment. I mean, not everyone is amenable to treatment, but this kid probably was. But he kept rejecting it. And why the parents didn't leverage all that they were giving him, his BMW, his fancy clothes, his apartment, and say, hey, kid, one of the contingencies of being able to access all this good, cool stuff, you must be in treatment. You must participate in treatment. And for some reason, they didn't seem to do that.
All right. Now, one of the things that's been a little bit different about the Elliot Rodger case compared to some of the others, like the Garza kid at Newtown and others, is that this guy was in therapy, was seeing multiple therapists. And the question has been asked a lot since the shooting over the weekend, which is, at what point does a psychiatrist or therapist realize that the patient is troubled? And at what point do they realize he's dangerous? That's a very tough decision to make on the couch, right?
It's a tough decision, but it's not impossible. And one thing I've been sort of chanting about lately is why we don't allow physician and mental health professional judgment to prevail, to be a sufficient defense against, say, malpractice or, you know, in other words, if you call the whistle, blow a whistle on somebody, you are violating some of their HIPAA privacy issues.
Right,
and somebody can sue you, you can have a criminal problem on your hands, And it should be an adequate defense to just go, you know, it was my judgment that this guy was possibly a problem. And that should be it. That should end it. But oh, no. Doctors and mental health people would be in big trouble in courtrooms, out of practice, in courtroom. It's just we're scared to death to do our job. And when we do notify, who do we notify? You call the cops, which is what they did in this case a little bit late, but they did a couple times called, and the cops went up and didn't take into account what was available on YouTube and in social media and just interviewed the kid, and the kid went, oh, whoa, I'm fine. See you later.
Dr. Drew, is what you're talking about with the violation of the Hippocratic Oath, would this be like if you saw a patient in your office and he turned out to be HIV positive, you would then spread the word because there's a health crisis possible? If that word didn't get out, you wouldn't leave it to the patient to decide?
Let me tell you the situation I'm in oftentimes that's sort of it's similar to that. And by the way, it's not my Hippocratic Oath. It's HIPAA laws. These are the
laws. Okay.
HIPAA laws, they're called. They're privacy laws. And doctors can't even talk about patients in a hallway or in an elevator because someone might overhear them.
Right.
Or a surveillance camera might pick it up. It's so onerous. But the situation I'm in, I've got a nurse who's taking opiates. I take care of a lot of Nurse Jackies,
right.
By the way. That's a great show. Really accurately reflects what Nurse Jackies are really
like.
Wow. And she's using and she's stealing from the pharmacy, and I know it. And she is functioning well, but I'm concerned that she might make a slip because she's loaded. And she goes, hey, you tell my administrator I'm going to sue you. Now, what do you do? What do you tell the administrator?
Yeah.
Or do you protect her privacy? And she's by the way, exerted the privilege. Like, I'm functioning fine. You have actually no direct knowledge that I'm going to harm somebody. I've been fine. I've been loaded like this for 5 years. You have no right. It's my privilege to be able
to do
that.
That's tough. So the mental health professionals are doing what they can. The police did what they could, went, didn't see a danger, thought the guy was a polite, fine young man. Obviously, the kid is ultimately at fault, but should the parents, it sounds like, is who you're saying really should – they're the ones responsible who should have done a lot more.
I hate saying somebody's responsible for this because now we got more victims on our hands. You know, this kid creates victims – wherever anybody that interacted with him is potentially a victim because everyone feels horrible about what happened. But I'm saying there was many missed opportunities here, and it's not just the parents. I do believe the mental health people bear some responsibility here, too. And, you know, he was given a medication that would have helped. Why didn't somebody require him? Why did the school require him as a contingency of him being enrolled in the campus? Didn't the West Virginia shooting, the Virginia Tech shooting, teach us that there needs to be contingencies? We know people can become violent in certain circumstances. Physicians have judgment and can tell you when that's going to happen and give you the treatment that will prevent that. Well, you're within your rights not to do that, though.
I want to ask you one more question, and I am smart enough to not wade into the gun control debate because that's a non-starter with people. It's hard to change someone's mind on that. What about as a media professional? There's been a lot of talk this week about don't give Elliot Rodger the platform. Don't put the manifesto on the internet. Don't put his videos up. Don't mention his name even, some people say. What are your thoughts on that, Doc?
To me, that sounds primitive. Like, we have to chisel their names out of the historical books. I mean, look, let's say his name and learn from it. You'll be disgusted every time you speak his name. And you read that manifesto, you'll be furious, but you will learn something. We have to look at these things square in the eye so we can be sure they don't happen again. We don't have to be like some sort of primitive society that has to expunge names from the historical record. That's ridiculous. But we can certainly not glorify what he did, and we can certainly warn others that this will not be tolerated, and learn, and more importantly, learn to read what's on social media. We have to be citizens of social media, and it's now a new tool. Learn what's on there and respond to it. When somebody is sick and behaving in a sick way, you need to be able to know and see what that is and then take action. This is a prime opportunity to learn about that.
Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood co-host Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Fridays at 6 p.m. And go to drdrew.com and podcast1.com for all of the podcasts. And, by the way, what sounds like a great show you're doing in Burbank Saturday night with Dennis Prager, who's one of the smartest people on the radio ever. That looks like a fun show for people they should think about going to see, too.
Please just go to drdrew.com. You can get tickets. We'd love to see you there.
Thanks, Doc.
You guys, bye.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:53. Every day here on K-Rock this whole week, starting at 9 a.m., you get tickets every hour to the sold-out K-Rock Reunion Rose 2014, and that means you call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. I know we have a game planned. Kevin, what are we looking for with our callers?
We are going to play Listeneroki, which means you have to sing a song from your favorite band, one of the bands that is on the lineup for the K-Rock Reunion Rose.
That sounds bad. I've heard our listeners sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them are bad. Some of them are good. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that just after the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
It is rare to find celebrity topless photos online on purpose.
Okay, good.
That's what's going on this week. Scout Willis, daughter of Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Yep.
Topless photos of her on the internet this week. She's walking around New York City completely topless.
I support her right to do that.
All right, Dr. Creepy.
Is it legal in New York? It is.
It
right?
is, yes. So she's walking around shopping. She's at like a produce stand. She's grabbing some apples. And just walking around, not for fun, not for comfort, but to protest Instagram's policy when it comes to female nudity. She's trying to make a point. It is part of the popular hashtag free the nipple. She posted a series of tweets on Tuesday to show her outrage at Instagram's rules about female nudity. She captioned the photos, "Legal in New York City, but not on Instagram." Then she also posted a photo of a barely covered woman, obviously a sort of a porn star, and said, "Instagram pictures of breast cancer survivors have been flagged and deleted, but this is super sick and hot?" Question mark. Saying that if it's sexual titillation, Instagram seems okay with it. But the particular photo is about the woman she's talking about is a breast cancer survivor who was showing her reconstructive surgery. Those pictures were flagged and deleted.
I think I'm behind her on this one.
Double standard, she's saying. You know, if it was something that has a legitimate reason behind it, like a breast cancer survivor, that has gone. But these just barely covered shots of porn stars with their boobs hanging out, that somehow seems all right by Instagram. So she's trying to make a point.
Well, good for her.
Good for her indeed. Despite being creepiness, I think it's a good thing she's doing. Not for the same creepy reasons Bean does, but...
I'm not being creepy.
We can all agree.
Look, Europe has managed to survive for thousands of years not having any problem with women being topless if they want to, right?
Right.
Right.
Well,
right.
Then get over it, people.
She's growing into a very attractive young lady.
She is. She certainly is.
One Direction fans, poor One Direction fans. They have to deal with this national nightmare now.
Well, first of all, they have to deal with One Direction's music.
How dare you, sir? This online video that broke this week of Zayn and Lewis hanging out together in the back of an SUV in Peru smoking weed. I'm not sure of how we know it's weed. Oh, that's right. At one point, Lewis says, "This is weed." Actually, he says, "One very, very important factor of Zayn's warm-up, of course, is Mary J. herself." Boom! Mary J. That's what the hip kids call it.
Oh, my God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am getting all over myself. It is One Direction.
A rep for the band tells TMZ the video was stolen, and the band's lawyers are investigating. That it comes as small comfort to their prepubescent fans, who now have taken to posting Twitter pictures of themselves burning concert tickets for the One Direction shows. Angry fans feeling betrayed by their liberal use of drugs. These hippie kids today with their drugs. Don't they know it'll be the downfall of society? Really?
Hey, One Direction! What do you guys put in your hair?
Good question there, Beer Mug. Good question. And Drew Barrymore says she adores Adam Sandler.
Really?
For me, it all stems from respect, her work with Adam. They keep working together. I love this person so much. Adam is amazing. I would do anything for Adam Sandler. Well, I think Blended proves that.
Yeah.
Unless you read that script and go, "Yes, that's for me. I want to play in that movie." And you wouldn't expect Tom Cruise to be in a London sex club, would you? Would you expect Tom Cruise to be in a London sex club?
Not at all.
Well, that's where he ended up.
Please go on.
Emily Blunt, who is his co-star in Edge of Tomorrow, said things got a little wild when they were shooting in London. It was apparently Matt Damon's birthday.
Okay.
And Matt was there with his wife, and she was there with her husband, John Krasinski. And they wanted to do something fun and different and crazy for Matt's birthday. So instead of a boring old dinner,
She says, my husband John wanted to do something crazy for him. I don't know if you heard about this club called The Box. It's kind of a burlesque sex club where there's weird things going on that make you cringe. Tom loves Matt, so Tom wanted to come along too. We told him we're changing the plans from a quiet, dignified evening to a wild night of partying. I emailed him and said, Tom, change of plans. We're now going to this club called The Box. Just want to let you know you may not be comfortable with this. It's kind of like a sex club. Tom emailed back, well, Jesus Christ, just don't let me walk out of there alone. And they said they didn't. So,
all right.
Apparently, Tom. Go, Tom.
I hear terrific things about this Edge of Tomorrow, by the way.
Do you really?
Yeah, really good reviews.
I hear terrific things about The Box.
I do, too. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of The Box. I go into The Box as often as possible. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Danny Elfman, 61. Annette Bening is 56. Adrian Paul turns 55. Rupert Everett, also 55 years old today, of Oasis fame Noel Gallagher, turns 47. Is he the surly one or the really surly one?
He's the surly one.
He's the surly one.
Yeah, okay. Not the really surly one.
Daniel Tosh, the comedian, of course, from Tosh.0, is 39 years old today. And singer Melanie B, you know her as Mel B from the Spice Girls. She's 39.
Yo, tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Video that like that one take video where they're all running around that house, that party and stuff, and the camera just goes down the hallway.
Is it possible that you love them too much?
No.
Okay.
I want to ask you, Ralph, if you were
Spice
sitting down
forever.
And had to come up with a list of your absolute all time undisputed favorite songs ever, where would that one rank?
It would be in the
top million,
top 20.
Top 20.
Top 20. Only top 20?
Yeah,
only
I'm
top
surprised. 20. I thought I would guess
higher.
There's
a lot of songs, dude. Sure. There certainly are. And
but
a lot
I do
of them
see,
are my favorites.
I do see your enthusiasm for Wanna Be every year when it comes out.
It is the top 20, for sure.
Top 20, okay. Yeah.
And judging from our party machine feedback, I am not alone, my friends.
Yeah. Oh, that was a big hit. No question.
So, zig a zig, ah, right here. You know what I'm saying? Right here.
Yep.
Zig a zig, ah.
See you pointing it. Yeah.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you are not coming to the sold-out K-Rock Winnie Rose 2014 this Saturday, then be sure to be on KRock.com because Kevin Abeen are going to be broadcasting live starting at noon. Stryker's going to be broadcasting from there. Kat and Nicole are going to be backstage doing interviews with all the bands. It's completely commercial-free, and then you can watch all of the performances complete and uncut at the Winnie Rose webcast only at KRock.com. However, if you'd rather be there in person in the pit with backstage passes, why not get on the phone right now and play Kevin Abeen Listener Okie?
Listener Okie, Listener Okie, that's the game we're gonna play. Listener Okie, Listener Okie, come and sing and don't be lame.
We have a lot of terrible ideas for games. This is the worst, though, right?
But at least we keep going back to it. That's what I like about us.
Well, here's what I was thinking, Kevin, is the people who are rabid, who are spending all of their days, every day, every hour trying to win these tickets, it's because they love this music so much. It's because they can't wait to see Fall Out Boy or The Neighborhood or Bastille or whoever their band is. So this is a chance to prove their love by belting out a song from their group. That's all we're doing here.
All right. Let's start with Jenny in Hermosa Beach. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to Listener Okie. Who are you going to sing?
I am totally going to sing Fall Out Boy, Light 'Em Up.
All right.
All right. Now, we don't have criteria, really, we can explain to you. It's just we're just going to pick somebody of all those that we hear who will win the tickets. It might be because yours is funny. Might be because yours is tremendously good. It could be your enthusiasm. Whatever you got, just give us your best.
Okay, awesome. Are you ready?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful, make your wishes in a jar. Jar can't be so when they hit there. My kind of vibe in the mean green times. I'm just dreaming of tearing you apart. My songs know what you did in the dark. Light them up, 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 light them up, 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 light them up, up, up. I'm on fire.
Okay. I like what you did there at the end. Thanks.
Jenny
maybe because it
sing.
Was maybe because it was at the end. But thank you, Jenny. You hang on. You are in the drawing.
I thought that was good.
I mean, it was good.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Let's go to Valerie. Hello, Valerie.
Good morning.
Welcome to Listener Okie.
Did you just run out of breath?
Welcome to Listener Okie.
Welcome to Listener Okie.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to sing my version of Safe and Sound with the little hip-hop feel.
Okay.
Nice. I like
changing it up a bit. All right.
Good.
All right. Here it goes. I can lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you what you want to be. You could be my look. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound. We're safe and sound. We're safe and sound. I could fill your cup. You know my river won't evaporate. This world will still appreciate. You could be my look. Even in a hurricane of France, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
All right, Valerie.
Safe and sound.
First of all, very enjoyable. How did that idea come to you? What about
she can't
that song?
Sing.
What about that song made you think this would be better as a hip hop number?
I don't know. It occurred to me. Well, why not try something different? I'm pretty sure everybody's going to try it. You know, attempt to get your
attention.
Yeah,
right.
Smart.
And this is my idea.
There you go.
All right, hold on. You are in the drawing. And by the way, we got a lot of great bands playing Saturday. Don't miss Capital Cities.
Agreed.
They are so great live. You're really going to have a good time with their set.
All right. Where do you want to go next?
So many good ones. Let's go to David. He's on line 5 from Commerce.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Who are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Bastille, Bad Blood.
Bad Blood.
Like it. Go.
Okay. We were young and drinking in the bar. There was nowhere else to go. And you said you'd always had my back, but with how are we to know? Know that these are the things that bind you together.
Right. Okay. Hi, Josh Groban. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate that.
Hold on.
Grant is up next. He's on line 6. He's in Whittier.
Hi, Grant.
Hey, guys.
What are you going to sing?
A melody. Pumped up kicks.
Do you mean a medley?
Beck.
Oh, a medley.
There you go. Medley, however you want to say it, Bean.
All right. This is going to be good.
Excuse me for pronouncing it properly. All right, let's hear a melody then of more than one act.
Okay. Ayo. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks better run, outrun my gun. But I stand in California with my toes in the sand, use the sleeves of my sweater. Now I sound like a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me? Since I'm more than just a dream.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Right in the air, right in the back.
Sweet.
Very impressive, minus the attitude. Thank you, Grant. Appreciate that. All right. We really only have time for a couple more. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to
Daniel. He's on line 7. He's apparently a Beck fan. That's his man.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You're going to sing a Beck song.
All right. I'm going to sing Loser by Beck.
All right.
Okay.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins, so I'm cut out the junkie with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog cake stalls with the beef cake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the loser in cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got the couple of couches, sleep on the love seat.
All right, Daniel. Isn't it interesting that as white as Beck is, he's able to pull that off? You, however, are not.
Not as
but
well.
But nice effort. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. How about Izzy on line 1?
All right, Izzy, hi.
How you doing? Hold on. I need to go in the room and close my door. My kids will laugh at me.
Hey, all of Los Angeles will laugh at you when you sing on the radio.
Okay.
What are you going to be singing?
Cherub, Doses and Mimosas.
All right.
Ready?
Here's Izzy.
To all the bitch-ass beer mugs that hate us the most, oh yeah, we hate you too. To all the punk-ass beer mugs that want to tuck track, you know I hate you too. Doses and Mimosas. Fire and be made.
Fire beer made? All right.
Beer mug. Well, help us get us through.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you very much, Izzy. Appreciate that. Wow. We've got some. This is a pretty good batch, by the way.
It's a good batch.
Very entertaining batch. I would have to say, to get the conversation started, that I was very impressed with the hip hop capital sound, Safe and Sound from Valerie. I also liked Grant very much with his medley or melody, if you want to call it that.
Whatever you want to, however you want to say it, Bean.
Right. I know. I even liked David's Bastille Bad Blood. Which one do you guys like?
I have a clear favorite. Lisa, I'll let you go first.
I liked Valerie.
I like Valerie as well.
Her.
Yep. Sounds like Valerie may be our winner then.
Oh, my God, yes.
Safe and sound. Nicely done.
Thank you.
In the pit, backstage passes. We'll see you Saturday.
Listen to Rocky. Listen to Rocky. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rocky. Listen to Rocky. You saw them were lame.
In the last couple of weeks, Adam Carolla has been all over this great land of ours, slinging mangria and signing copies of his new best-selling book called President Me, The America That's in My Head. It is available everywhere and currently on the New York Times bestseller list. Adam is also appearing at a sold-out live podcast at the Irvine Improv tonight, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Ace Man, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, it's sold out?
Yes. What about that?
All right.
Hey, we talked about your birthday a couple days ago in the celebrity birthday list, and I see that you were turning 50, which is a big one, and you were working harder on that day than most people work in a year. It was kind of crazy what your schedule was like.
Well, first off, I you know, my wife and kids hate me, but I don't believe birthdays should be celebrated, because Charles Manson and Hitler, they've all had birthdays. Everyone who's within the sound of my voice was born and then thus had a birthday. Like, I just don't feel like being crapped out of your mom's vagine is any reason to celebrate. I know I should make cakes for a living.
Right.
But here's what I would suggest. How about we all have an achievement day?
No, but then we would have to achieve something.
That's my point. You could celebrate your achievement day, the day you got your diploma from, or whatever it is, you know, made it to 100 push-ups. For you, for Bean, it'd be like a day you didn't buy a pig. That could be your achievement day. And then we would celebrate that, and then you could try to best yourself as you kept going along. You see
yeah, depending on what your greatest accomplishment is, for some people it would be, hey, I got the winning touchdown at the Super Bowl. For other people, it would be, hey, I got that promotion at the paper factory. Whatever it was.
Right.
I made it to the next level of Call of Duty.
Right. And then the goal would be to up that, because if we celebrated three of the same achievement three or four years in a row, your buddies would be like, yeah, that one's kind of old.
Once again, you have so many great ideas, Adam. If we just listened to you, we'd be a better country, and that's what's great about you. All right, Adam is here. It is that day, that time. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three and working our way on up to number one. First off, I was in San Francisco doing a show last Sunday, running a little bit late. Had the slacker crossing the crosswalk in front of our car. She was texting and had her face buried in her phone, but she was walking so slowly that she was literally leaning backwards. She looked like a weatherman who was reporting from a class 6 hurricane. You know, like, she was literally, you see people that walk so slowly that their feet are 3 feet out in front of them?
Yeah, right.
And I was like, bitch, are you trying to get run over? Because this is what you would do if you were attempting to get run over. You would bury your face in your iPhone, and you would walk leaning backwards at a super slow clip. And then I thought to myself, you know, people don't cross the street correctly anymore. Like, it used to be sprint, shoulder roll in the middle, and back up and sprint again. Like, remember how we used to cross the street when you were young?
Sure.
You'd run.
Scared to death. You get across it as fast as possible.
Right, because everyone who was driving had horrible old drum brakes and was drunk. And so you better run. And now people are just brimming with confidence, but they're still getting run over. And I just thought, you know what it is? They're not frightened. They're not scared. And then I thought to myself, everybody between the ages of 7 and 10 needs to be clipped by a car just once.
I'm not positive that's the
Hear
best idea.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Right. I'm saving lives here, person.
I see. Okay.
I didn't say run over by a dump truck.
Okay.
I said just clipped. Like someone who was bit by a dog when they were 3 and are permanently scared of dogs. Healthy respect for the automobile.
And that would save us maybe years in our life of waiting for people to cross the street.
I'm just saying it's going to save their lives because they are going to sprint across the street.
I like
it. They're going across like a Usain Bolt. Yeah, I mean, you just put your kid in the driveway. You just clip them. I'm not saying you go over the top of them. You clip them, and when they're writhing in pain and their femur's coming out of their ass, you go, doesn't feel good, does it?
I don't see how anyone can be against that.
Sure hate that for that to happen again, wouldn't you?
Is it possible for your femur to come out of your ass?
If you hit them just right, you're driving the right make, yes.
All right, okay.
All right, so just once, that's all.
All right.
Let's fear God into them.
All right.
Number two, well, speaking of, you know, I'm going to scrap my number two. I had an idea, it's in President Me, that I am in love with, I can't remember if I shared it with you guys or not, but speaking of road safety, I think we're too safe. I feel like we're driving around with impunity. Did I share my airbag idea with you guys?
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
Bean, sit down.
I can't wait.
Or stand up. Do something different than what you're doing. Right. This is going to be awesome.
He needs to stand up then.
I think people are getting a little bit complacent when they're driving. That's why they're running over. The lazy people are driving. Lazy people are crossing the street. Everyone's texting. Everyone's listening to their 18-speaker Bose stereo and drifting off at their warm seats. But we know we're surrounded by airbags now, right?
Right.
Yeah. Every car has, like, side curtain airbags and rollover airbags. And 15 airbags, and you can get in an accident now. You're not going to get hurt, right?
Right. It's like taking a nap in lots of delicious pillows, basically.
Right, right. So you almost want to get in an accident so you can be wrapped in that cocoon of airbags.
So let me guess, when you're between the ages of 1 and 3,
no.
Your parents should set one off.
No, that's insane. Okay. This is a real plan. Okay. Here's my mandate, and tell me how much safer people would drive if this was the truth.
All right.
1 out of every 10 cars that rolls out of the factory, airbag filled with moose semen.
Oh, God.
What kind of a terrible idea is that?
How careful would you drive? How careful? There'd be no more texting. There'd be no more, oh, I got to shave or put my makeup. Tammy, you wouldn't be trying to put your makeup on. There'd be none of that. You'd be 10 and 2, signals all the way.
Because you wouldn't know if you were with the 1 in 10.
You wouldn't know. Ha. And by the way, how exciting would it be if somebody got in a fender bender and you drove past them and it turned out they did have that car?
That would be pretty awesome.
And think of all the jobs you create by people having to extract all that moose semen.
And think about how happy the moose would be.
It's a win-win-win.
Of course. All right. And number one, just a quick tip I realized from staying in a lot of hotels and traveling a lot. It's very simple. It's something I feel like we overlook. We all know that move where we go to the elevator, you hit your floor, you're standing there, your back's up against the back, you're staring at the opening,
yep.
You see that person coming around the corner dragging their Samsonite.
Yep.
You establish eye contact.
Right.
You're not sure whether to make that half-hearted move where you try to hold the door or do something, but you end up freezing and standing there. The door's closing on them. Every once in a while, they get their arm in at the last second, and you have to have that super uncomfortable ride up to
sure.
the 18th floor where they're like, thanks, hero. Thanks for not moving a muscle while I was struggling to get to the door that was closing. And by the way, I know what you were doing. You wanted the door to lock me out. New etiquette. When you get into an elevator, never look out of it. Simply look down. Just pull your phone out and stare at it.
Okay.
I don't care what's on it. Don't look out the door. There's nothing. Get in, push your button, and look down. There's nothing outside of there that can help you.
Then you don't have to feel bad.
You'll never get... If that person is running up, their story will be, hey, the guy with the Brillo head from The Man Show was looking at his phone, and I didn't make the elevator. It wasn't that douchebag didn't hit the button or hold his hand out.
Well, it's a great idea. Adam Carolla has done it again with his latest book, in stores and available online everywhere, called President Media America. That's In My Head. I guarantee you will love it. You should buy it. And, of course, AdamCarolla.com and the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, both available at AdamCarolla.com. Great to have you on again, Eastman. Thanks so much.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. Oh, you are Jesus. Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
What's on G's now? What are you complaining
about,
Ralph?
Let's table this conversation for next week. We'll have a little comic book conversation next week. When my comic book comes out on stands, we can talk about comic books.
Ralph just brought in his hard copy of his comic.
Yeah, I just got an advanced issue of my comic
and
book that I wrote.
Awesome.
There it is. Batman okay. 66 meets the Green Hornet. It doesn't come out in comic book stores until next week on the 4th. June the 4th is the official launch date. But
well, congratulations.
We're doing a little launch party this weekend at the Peterson Automotive Museum on Sunday because they've got the Green Hornet... Black Beauty, the original one from the TV show, and the Batcycle. I'm not asking anyone to go. We're sold out already. And the Batcycle from the TV show. So we're going to do a little thing. Kevin Smith and I are going to do a little thing there, and we're already sold out for that. But next week it's actually in stores, so we'll talk more about it then. But
screw that!
Just talking about the Bean's extensive comic book
yeah,
well, buying.
I used to buy a fair amount of comics
sure.
as a kid.
Yeah, we'll discuss that next week. I'm with Ralph. We don't have time here.
Yeah.
I owned a lot of Casper titles.
See, here's the thing. And he says, I don't know. I didn't get the geeky books you did. He's talking about Archie and Casper.
And you Little Lulu. I was into Little Lulu.
You're worse than a nerd. You're like a 10-year-old girl. That's who read those titles. Where was the superheroes? Where was the Batmans and the Daredevils and the Spider-Mans?
But look at how much Sluggo loved Little Lulu.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
First of all, Sluggo loved Nancy, okay? Not Little Lulu.
Okay, then I am confused, but I had that.
This
I
is the sound that Bean makes when he reads Little Lulu.
All right, we'll save it for another time. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What's
you
going on?
You are craptastic. This is an interesting list, I thought. Billboard magazine released the top 25 highest-earning live artists since 1990. They went all the way back to 1990, and they said, let's pick the 25 acts that have made the most money live in concert since 1990.
Okay.
So, a little quick math. Over the past 24 years, you're going to be stunned, largely by the fact that there's only four people on the list of 25 that had their debut albums in the 90s or later. So these are all acts that got their start before 1990 who are still pulling in huge money on the road.
But, yeah, I would have guessed they would all be, you know, newer bands. But having said that, you got to have a pretty big catalog to command some of the prices that they get.
The Eagles,
sure,
were 10th on the list, made over $700 million in that span. Kenny Chesney was 9th. Celine Dion was 8th. Celine Dion? I guess maybe that residency in
Vegas was a
big moneymaker for her. Dave Matthews Band. That's one of the most recent bands. $776 million in the past 24 years. Elton John, almost $800 million. Bon Jovi, now we get into the real money. Bon Jovi at 5. Just a hair over $1 billion in ticket sales.
Crazy. Well, every single year when we look at that Pollstar list of the highest ticket grossers on the road, Bon Jovi is near the top. Even now.
Madonna, $1.1 billion. Bruce Springsteen, number 3. With $1.2 billion in gross ticket sales. U2, $1.5 billion they've made. Hey, you know what? You know what, Bono? Why don't you feed Africa, okay? All right. Now that I know you're pulling in $1.5 billion, why don't you feed a couple people? Stop asking me to empty my pockets. Damn, Bono. And number one, the Rolling Stones. $1.6 billion in tickets.
Do we play the drum roll after he says the answer?
That might have been a little late.
Is that the timing of it?
But you have to remember, they split that five ways, so that's not really a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah, they're barely getting by.
Really. After taxes?
No.
That's not much.
It's like 25 grand.
I mean, I guess they're guys who feel like you can't have too much money. Even though they're in their 70s now, they go, how can we not go out and make another $100 million, right?
I'm guessing if you're in your 70s, you have to love it.
Yeah, you're doing it because you want to.
You would have quit by now, money-wise.
Sat my fat ass down.
And
at the
gotten
first,
fatter.
At the first 20 mil mark, when I know I got 20 mil. It may not take care of my kids and my kids' kids, but it's taking care of me, goddammit. I know that much. So everyone else, just you're on your own. It's the magic number for me. 20 mil. That's your
FU walk-away money is 20 mil.
When I hit 20 mil, you're all in trouble because I am out the door.
Well, that could be any minute now that your comic book's
Another
coming out.
5-6 years here at K-Rock, I'll finally have scrolled away that 20 mil that I wanted, and then boom. You know, after this experience with the comic book thing, if I hit the lotto, if I hit the Powerball this week or whatever it is, and I get my $76 million payout, whatever,
right?
That's what I would do. I'd sit my ass home and just write comic books. It was so much fun.
That's your dream.
And I get to sit in my little Batman room and just type away on my computer, and nobody bothers me. Spectacular. All right, let's talk about other showbiz news, like the fact that Kim Kardashian, porn star Kim Kardashian, made it official regarding her marriage to her husband Kanye West. She tweeted via Instagram and Twitter this week that her new name will be Kim Kardashian West. Once again, I think you're a little off with that Tim.
Sorry.
So it's real, man. She's taking his name. That's for real.
She's adding his name.
She's not taking his name, just adding it. Right. Kim Kardashian West. Meanwhile,
I'm surprised that Kanye is not also taking her name, by the way. I'm surprised he's not Kanye Kardashian West as much as he... They are the most important people in the world
today.
That
would be a creative, genius way to handle that, but...
What do we know? We're not creative geniuses.
Meanwhile, Chloe, the sister Chloe, may be having hard times. Is it possible that her new boyfriend, French Montana, which, by the way, is my favorite flavor of ice cream.
Is it?
Oh, that's really good.
It is good.
French Montana, the rapper, is already cheating on her, according to Star Magazine. On the set of his Pop That video, apparently French Montana came on very strong to a young lady who was also appearing in the video named Annabelle, and they disappeared into his trailer for an hour.
Rehearsal.
Rehearsal. And
she's so uptight.
Then stumbled out of it looking quite disheveled after that. So is he already cheating on Khloe Kardashian, they ask in this interview? To which I respond, you're the magazine, you tell me. Okay, I don't have any answers for you.
Don't make us guess. You did the research.
I like to think so, because anything that brings unhappiness to that family, I'm all for.
Yeah.
And this is a new film I don't think we need to see, is it? Apparently in the works right now, a new film starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who plays a special ops firefighter. Didn't even know they had those.
I didn't either.
He puts out extreme fires.
That's a military position?
I guess so. Huh. Special ops firefighter.
Okay.
Played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who takes his ex-wife, played by Carla Gugino, who I love, from Los Angeles to San Francisco to rescue their daughter after the big one hits. It's called San Andreas. Once again, a little, just a hair off. Is that a movie any of us need to see? I would not be comfortable going to see San Andreas.
Yeah, it does seem...
I don't need that. I got a crazy wife at home who's already got bunkers built in the back of our house holding canned goods and medical supplies. You think I'm going to take her to this San Andreas? I will have to move into a biodome.
Los Angeles has been destroyed so many times by so many things on film.
Yes, how but much? Those are all fantasies, things I can laugh at and go, oh, isn't that adorable? The
but
aliens
like
have come down and took
out... But like Earthquake?
Didn't see that either.
Okay, all right.
Seems like let's go see... Hey, you want to go see Cancer, the movie? It's out over the Cineplex. But a guy who just gets cancer and then slowly dies while his family weeps. No, I don't need that movie. I don't need the big one movie either.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad enough when it happens. I don't need to live in the dread after having those images burned into my cerebellum.
And you're already terrified of Sharktopus.
Yeah, exactly. I already had a bad experience there.
But The Rock will come save you, so you got that going for you.
I don't think he will. Apparently he's going to save his daughter.
Okay.
He's not interested in me.
That sucks.
Even though he's a special ops firefighter. Anyway, I reject that movie totally. Unless, of course, they're a sponsor. And then they're awesome.
Or they have a role for Ralph Garman.
Oh, wait a minute. Now we're talking. Hey. Maybe I can get through my fear of earthquakes by actually appearing in San Andreas.
I like it.
Hollywood, are you listening?
By the way, again, and I know Ralph doesn't want to toot his own home.
Want to toot my home.
He was in
How
Ted.
How would you toot your home if
he
you were going
to? He was in Ted,
to?
One of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Well, in all fairness, it is the highest grossing R comedy ever.
Right. So I'm just saying they could do worse than to put you in their little film.
And I also am in A Million Ways to Die in the West. It comes out this Friday.
Which is going to probably beat that.
Probably, I don't know. It'll do well. I think it'll do well. May not surpass Ted, but it's going to do well. I'm just saying. Put me in your movie. Usually you make about $500 million.
Got it.
Based on
record.
You alone.
Yes.
It's Bobby!
That's right. Look what Bobby did for House. Made it a hit on TV. I'm pretty much a hit machine. I'm a hit factory. I'm like Motown back in the 60s. I'm just a hit factor.
Yes, you are.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Danny Elfman is 61 years old today. Actress Annette Bening is 56. She's still married to Warren Beatty, right? That's still happening?
She sure is.
What are the odds? What are they? I'm glad we didn't start a pool for that one.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Speaking of pools, are we going to do a Kanye,
we need to.
Kim and Kanye wedding pool?
We need to. We need to do it on the air.
Their divorce?
We did one off the air, and I wrote down an hour and a half, and that can't be my guess, so I'd like
no,
to redo
we're going
to
have to.
Okay, good.
Hey, Harvey Levin said they will be married forever, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Literally, till death do us part.
Yeah. Right.
Well, here's hoping. Maybe he's just hoping that they die really soon. All right. All right, Harv. All right, buddy. Okay, Harv. It's okay. All right. Adrian Paul's 55. Rupert Everett is 55 as well. Noel Gallagher is 47. Daniel Tosh from Tosh.0 is 39. And
oh,
been...
my God. Oh, God.
Harvey, I know you're a big fan of Daniel Tosh. And, of course, we've been celebrating all day long the birthday of Melanie B. She was Scary Spice, don't you know? I like him scary. from the Spice Girls.
Do I have to...
39 years old today. Hit it, Steve.
Do I have to hit it?
Hit
do
it, Steve. Oh, I have to go right now and listen to that song in its entirety. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat. Thanks, Harv.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the wonderful Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron.
Charlize had always wanted to be in a movie with Ralph, and finally her dream came true.
She's the best. She said, isn't it funny after all these years, the Kevin and Bean Show and all this stuff, and us hanging out, we're in a movie together? Isn't that weird how that worked out?
Probably the biggest thrill of her life. I mean, above getting the kid and the Oscar and everything else. I mean, this is the thing she'll think about on her final days.
Writer, director, actor Kevin Smith will join us. Movie Beat, because it's Friday. Did I mention Charlize Theron on tomorrow's show?
Yes.
You did bring that up.
And Last Chance, Weedy Roast Pitt and Backstage.
See, now I'm all afraid because I forgot. I'm going to have to do an instant creep play about the interview with Charlize Theron when you guys are on the phone.
Well, maybe you could...
Not at all.
Maybe you could be in here and guide us through those waters.
All right. I will.
Because I don't want to be the creepy guy, and I think I kind of got sucked up into Bean's corporate
vortex. I agree. I will have to bring a cattle prod to keep you on the straight and narrow.
Okay. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.